This week's episode of Heavy Meta is brought to you by Face-to-Face Games. If you like paper cards, that's the place to get them. If you don't, try MTGO Academy for all your digital needs.
No. Ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome to Heavy Meta, your source for magic news, entertainment, and comedy.
Hello, you little bitches, I'm Gabby Mel.
And I'm Mike Studios.
And I'm the MTG Ferret.
You are listening to Heavy Fucking Meta. I don't know why it's the English version.
So fucking funny to me. It's not even the English. It's Ferret. It's fucking showing up like Bugs Bunny.
So welcome, people. We obviously we came off the most insane episode of Heavy Meta in a while.
You got my computer going Chernobyl. Fucking Kevy can't keep anything straight.
Wait, that's the first episode that we tried to end twice, and it didn't end. So, like, that...
This is a song that doesn't end. Yeah. Oh, my God.
So you finally caught that, Kevy. Yeah. Yes, I started singing that.
So, Kevy has promised to enroll in a 21-step program for interrupting people. I believe he set the world record for interrupting people on last cast and not giving a fuck about what they're saying.
Before the cast, I said there is a little bit of logic to it. It's like while we're recording, like we'll all start to talk at the same time or something like that. And so I'll think that what I said didn't come through. So then I'll repeat it. And then I'm drunk, so I'll repeat it again. And then I'll think that that part didn't come through because Ferret was talking or Maddie was talking. And then I'll repeat it for like the fourth time. And then lo and behold, I listened to the episode and like it came through all four fucking times. I was just louder than everybody else. So I just repeat myself over and over again. That was also the drunkest I have ever been on a cast. And there's one point in the cast where after listening to it later, I remembered that I just completely lost track of everything that was going on and just stared at the corner of the cave for a while. And then all of a sudden snapped back to reality. It was like, it was as close as I could have gotten to just blacking out drunk in the middle of the podcast and then waking up. Dude, that was fucking terrible. And the best part is I had no idea until I got to listening to the very end of the cast what the fuck cheeseburgers meant. I was like, this is the name of the episode and everybody's talking about cheeseburgers and hashtag cheeseburger. I'm like, what the fuck? And then as it got to the end of the fucking podcast, I'm like, oh yeah.
Maddie included that story. Oops. You bastard, Maddie. No,
you're welcome, motherfuckers. Cheeseburgers will always be better now.
Yeah, they will. I was funny because when I was editing the episode, I'm like, what the hell am I going to call this thing? Like, robots on? And like, even editing that episode, trying to end it is a brutal job. And but I have to say, I was going to cut the entire last 45 minutes. I was just going to say, fuck it, I'm ending it. But that cheeseburger story was so funny. Like, I was crying when I was editing it, and I'm like, no. This is for the true fans. I'm naming this the last joke on the cast. If you don't listen all the way through, you won't understand what the fuck we're talking about. And I
that
knew
was one of the few times that I actually like I was almost embarrassed because I'm like at work listening to my headphones and I start laughing my ass off. Now I do that all the time. Everybody's like, "Oh, you're listening to the podcast?" Because I start laughing at fucking the podcast I listen to. But I was just all like I was laughing at the shit that I said that I didn't remember that I said. Like I was fucking laughing my ass off at my own shit, and I was just like, "Oh my god, I was that
heavy." I think we've got to be the only fucking cast that we get so trashed during the cast. It's very common that when we're listening to it the next, on the Friday.
Oh, dude, it's brand new for everybody. Everybody
else. Well, that's why I like editing it, because then it's like, oh, I get to hear it again, and I'm like, oh man, I think this is going to be a bad episode. And then I'm like editing, I'm like, oh, this is the funniest shit ever. Like, it's surprising how funny we get.
Probably the only cast that can spend the first, 10-15 minutes of a cast talking about what we did the last
Yeah, sorry, people. Yeah,
you're good. Tell you what, we'll make up for it a little bit here.
I'll just get hammered.
When my went to Chernobyl and we were all talking about our first drinking times, I can go ahead and give you guys mine.
Yes.
We missed Ferris last weekend because his fucking computer melted down.
Yeah, right. So, anyway, as it goes, for mine it was I was actually dating a college girl back when I was a sophomore in high school.
Because that's how you
roll. You got to figure this shit. Think about it. Any high school guy, that's like the fucking dream. Yeah, we're doing it. But, well.
Now, see, so mine's the other way around. I started, when I was that age, I was just dating high school girls.
And then there goes Kevin. So, back to what I was saying.
I interrupt you, Ferret?
There.
Kevin, you promise you're in step three of the no interrupt. Go on.
Oh, it's awesome.
Okay. So, at this point in life, I had done nothing but drink, like soda, fucking juice, and there's a bottle of vodka there. And I had no idea that you're not supposed to drink vodka in little shot glasses rather than the same way you do a 2-liter, just turn it upside down and start chugging. Needless to say.
Who doesn't know that, Ferret? That's like, how new were you to alcohol that when you drink it and it tastes like gasoline or paint thinner, that you keep chugging that shit?
At this point, the only thing I'd been introduced to around the house and whatnot was just beer, because that's all my dad had. So I knew you could have that similar to like the Mountain Dews, because that's usually what I drank all the time. Well, a bottle later, about 30 seconds after, the girlfriend looks at me, looks at the bottle, and goes, "Oh shit, guys, we gotta go," and promptly brings me to my truck so that I can drive back home. Luckily, this is in Alaska, so drinking and driving thing. Well, it's not suggested, and I never suggest that to anybody. It's not quite as bad because the worst thing you can do is wrap yourself around a tree
or a moose.
Exactly. So. About 15 minutes later, I'm actually getting home, just getting the door. Dad's like, "So, you guys got out of work a little late, huh?" And I'm like, yeah, had to clean up some messes.
There you go.
Keep in mind, too, what's lovely about this house is it's just this little two-bedroom house that's pretty much an apartment. I mean, everybody, if you've been in an apartment, you know what I'm talking about. You basically got living room. Room.
It's like eight square feet. Like,
the kitchen can fit the table or somebody cooking, but not both at the same time.
Yep.
So I had just enough time to go right by the bathroom, which was literally right next to the entrance of the door, go to my bedroom door and fall face first planting in my room going,
Lord.
"Oh God,
I'm gonna die."
Exactly.
Yep. I'm going to die tonight.
And pretty much curl up next to my younger brother because there was no way in hell I was going to make it up to the top bunk.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's fucking awesome.
Morning, Dad, I'm pretty sure has a damn good idea what happened. Looks at me and, "Hi, Mike. How are you doing? It looks like."
I think dads always give you that one. Like,
I needed to chop wood, so we have tomorrow.
Yeah, we gotta chop wood. You gotta go chop wood for the fucking eat.
I know, so make sure you get that done before you go to school.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, whatever.
Like, sure, Dad.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God. We all grew up in small houses. Like, I grew up in a freaking six people and two cats and, God, the house with two bedrooms and like, oh, it was horrible, man. It was like living in prison. It was like fucking living in prison. My room was actually a closet. That's what's funny. My room was a closet that was converted. So a standard single, I'm not joking. A standard single bed, like that it was curved. So it would fit from wall to wall. It fit, but it was like you had to pound down the sides to fit flat. Yeah.
You were the literal Harry Potter.
Yeah. No, it wasn't as bad as Harry Potter, but it was a small
under
little
the
room.
Stairs, but...
Hey, I had a window. Which was fucking awesome. Oh, man.
When I was 16, I ran away out my window because you gotta have a window.
See, that's the funny thing, Kevin, is where I was in Soldana, was, sure, go ahead, try to run away.
Yes. In the bush.
The east is nothing but marshes. You, to the you know, west is nothing but trees. And, well, you could kind of make it to town, but really it's the kind
of... If you don't get eaten by a bear on the way there.
So speaking of bears, I believe we got from good old the creative magic team there, we got the Planeswalker Guide to Theros debuted today because we cast on Wednesdays. So pretty cool shit. I don't know if you guys have read it, but we're going to talk about it because there's some cool shit in here.
Post a link in
the page. So wait, whoa. You're saying bears. What do you mean by bears? I don't see any bears in this shit.
How we segue.
I needed a goddamn segue, you piece of shit, and I thought no one would notice. There's enchantment bears. Listen, now, anyways. So, the Guide to Theros is pretty cool. So, it basically goes through, more, of what the gods were, and like, it's pretty standard, you know, one is Zeus, one is, you know, the shadow god, the goddess of the hunt. Pretty typical stuff. But what's interesting that I noticed, is their equipment. And it seems like they focus on this equipment. Like
one
they talk
about. Kevin, no, he's not talking about that. Quit getting so happy.
Ah, you motherfucker. No, we're talking about Zeus's spear, or Heliod, sorry.
Exactly.
I keep calling him Zeus. Heliod, he's got like a, what is it called? It's a sun spear. Yeah, it's a sun spear. So, what's interesting though, if you think about it, and there, we've got this enchantment god. I'm guessing, or what would be very unique is, I wonder if the gods are enchantments, and then they're flip cards. Like, they flip over to actual creatures, or, like, you cast an enchantment that, when it dies, it fetches the god or something. And I'm wondering, and then I'm wondering if the equipment is also, equipment based, or, enchantment based. You know, like, it looks very, from the stories they'd say, the equipment sounds absurdly powerful. Like there's one that said, what is it here? Obscure legends say that another, a major city once existed, known as Araximathus, that Heliod smote with one crucior. You know, so it's like, wow. Like if that's,
you know,
that's pretty crazy.
All this?
Yep.
There is no fucking way that Stoneforge is ever getting unbanned in modern now.
No. If the equipment is good, well, it wouldn't matter if this is expensive equipment to equip. It, you know, she could drop it in for free, but then if it's – that's
exactly.
Where
it could be a fucking 9-drop. It don't matter. That bitch puts it in for 2.
Could you imagine that, though? If it equips for free and it's like a 10 cash it costs equipment and it does like some absurd thing. Yeah, Stoneforge and Legacy. Wow. Equipment for
forget Legacy, dude. That should be in Vintage. And hey, speaking of Vintage,
yes.
Well, we still don't have the announcement on when the Power 9 is coming in.
Yes.
But what we do have an announcement for MTGO players is this Friday, From the Vault 20 goes on sale.
Bam,
on MTGO. Yes. Oh yeah. So get your shit, get it quick, because yeah, it's a good deal. And the box season 10.
No, no, you're going so fast here. Okay, so hold on, go back. So this is what we were talking about. No, because, okay, so we talked about 20. It's going on sale. Does it say what it's going to cost?
It's going to be MSRP, 40, okay, or $39.99.
Okay, so here's what I'm asking, and I've been watching the price of Jace go up, strangely enough, on MTGO Goldfish. Is it worth it? Like, am I going to be able to sell the Jace out of it for the price of my pack? That's what I'm wondering. Like,
okay, Jace the Mind Sculptor right now is 35 and non-foil. And here, let's see, Tangle Wire is currently
6?
34. So it dropped $6.
Wow, 34 tickets? What's it buying at, though?
I don't know what those two are buying at.
Man,
fucking find out.
I mean, if you look at, what was it, the commander decks, that had ooze in them, you could sell the ooze for, 18 or something. So, it wasn't too bad.
I have that. Well, paper, but yeah, I have that. And then I found out that, like, as I was digging through shit later on, as I figured out what cards were and stuff, because when I bought that commander deck, I didn't know anything about all the shit we talk about now. Then I started digging through, I was like, oh, scavenging ooze, that sounds fucking, that sounds familiar. And I look at it and I'm just all, oh man, this is one of the ones that got attacked by water. So yeah, my fucking scavengers is fucked.
I've been hearing
another thing that
There has been rumbling that if there is ever going to be a Wasteland reprint, it might happen in Commander products. So see if that pans out. But
if they print Wasteland in Commander, holy balls!
Well, if you think about
it,
you're not
going to
put it in a From the Vault. You're not going because they've already done From the Vault Lands, and that's where it should have been.
I agree with that.
From the Vault 20, it wasn't there. I don't know what the next From the Vault that they could have coming up that it may have been in, and it's not a product you're going to want to put it in anyway. You're not going to want to put it in a dual deck.
No, you're right.
I personally would love to see it in the standard format. Every other person thinks I'm a complete jackass for that, but you know, hey, whatever.
Well, it seems like the Commander decks and the fucking the Plane Chase decks is where they put stuff like that. Because it's a reprint. You can get a hold of it.
Plane Chase. Actually, do you see anybody even in papers play Plane Chase?
Only once.
I bought it. Luckily, I was smart enough to, like, I was like, what's this Plane Chase thing? Oh, we'll get it and we'll try it. So Daniel and I went and bought Plane Chase decks. And of course, I bought Vela the Nightclad, thank God. Because that has fucking two Baleful Strix in it. It has fucking.
Oh, it does. That's right.
Yeah.
Oh.
What's that?
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's actually worth money now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fucking, that card is so awesome, dude. That card makes me want – if they would let me play that in anything besides, what is it, fucking Vintage?
Legacy.
Or Legacy, sorry. I'd go blue-black for that card. That card is so awesome.
Yeah, Kevin, you got to think about a card like that. That will probably eventually see print in a set.
Yeah, I could see that being.
I hope so. Well, I don't know. I don't know if it will or not. That card is so goddamn powerful for fucking what it costs. It's ridiculous.
Oh yeah,
blue and black for what? A fucking flying. I want to say 2/1, death strike. What the fuck is death?
Death strike. That's a new keyword. Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Check and then in. You get to draw a card on top of it. Like that's fucking ridiculous. Like it's way too powerful. They're going to print that shit, and that's why they do shit like that. That's why they print stuff like that in sets that aren't fucking – that you can't play in Modern, that you can't play in fucking Standard and shit like that. And that's why that's the place they put shit like that. If they were going to reprint Wasteland, it's going to be in the Commander decks or it's going to be in like a Plane Chase sort of thing where you can't play with it in fucking Standard or in Modern.
Well, all I know is I only have a single copy of Wasteland, so that would be really, really cool because I would love to have
a place. That would be awesome for fucking – Oh, speaking of fucking cards like that. Oh my god. I got my cube finished. Kinda. Oh my lord. I cannot wait to fucking play this thing.
Well, Kevy, I suppose.
Oh, I don't want to go too far into it because I don't want to interrupt.
You can send me an email if you need for your cube and we'll see what we can do, okay?
Okay, so Kevy, I've tried to start topics and as soon as they're started, you're taking us on tangents. So I'm gonna try and keep the
Welcome
show on
to heavy meta.
I'm gonna try and keep the show on track here. So let's just talk really quickly
That's
about
the
From the Vault.
You used to do that. You used to be the guy in the first fucking 15, 20 episodes that kept us on track. You
I'm
were
trying.
The,
I was the
you
guy
were
that
the Scotty Mac. But then what happened is then you started becoming just as much of a drunk as I am, and we stopped giving a shit, and we left it up to Ferret. And Ferret's computer catches on fire half the time, so he can't keep us on track. So we just fucking steamrolled.
No. See, you're getting too powerful. See, in the beginning, you had more respect for me. You'd stop. Now you're like, fuck this guy. And you just
roll right over the top.
Fuck y'all.
Yeah, you're a steamroller. There's no stopping you now. But let's talk quickly about this From the Vault because I got a lot of Twitter traffic on it, and everyone seems to think me and Ferret know MTGO finance. So we're trying to figure out. Is it going to be worth buying right away? And my assumption is they're going to leave this. Well, here's the thing.
Well, I'm going to give you some past to this, okay?
Okay.
If From the Vault's Dragons was profitable,
that's not a right comparison. That's
completely bullshit. If From the Vault's Dragons, the shittiest From the Vaults we've had, or maybe not completely shittiest, but very close.
Not
was extremely profitable on day one. From the Vault 20 is going to be You'll probably double or triple your money.
No, okay. Hold on, wait.
This is the problem. My call right here, before you guys get any further into this,
okay,
is that it's going to be gone like that. It's if what you guys were saying before is true, that the way that they're going to limit this set is they're going to limit them to a certain number. And before, they've never really had to worry about it. They eventually just take them off the shelf because nobody bought that many of them. This one having Tango Wire and Jace in it and the hype from it and what it is, it's going to be gone before most of us can get a hold of them.
Now, if they put
a limit of 5,000 on them, they're going to be gone before you get a hold of them.
I don't know. Like, okay, so here's – this is the thing, right? So Kevy has hit it on the head. If they are going to do that, then – you know, this is going to sell out. Now, do I think that if it did sell, they'd be extremely happy because they just made a shit ton of money. $30 times 5,000, they made 180,000. You know, they're going to be very happy. I don't, if they do sell out, I don't think they're going to reissue it because it's Jace and they're not going to want to. So the question is that I've been asked this many times, do I buy Friday morning? Like when it comes out, and I'm like,
yes.
And so fair to say yes. Kevy's probably saying yes. I'm gonna say yes for one copy. If you want to buy multiple copies because you want play sets, I don't know. And I'm thinking maybe you want to wait a day or two and see how fast they're selling. Because like Ferret said,
you can't wait to see how fast they're selling. You're not gonna lose
money by buying four copies.
You can't see how fast they're selling. What's gonna happen is like, because you don't know how many people have already bought them and whatnot.
I could tweet him and say what's going on. I'm sure he's gonna say, you better get them now.
It goes, Maddie, and by the time that they respond to you, it's gonna be sold out.
Okay. Hold on. Ferret was telling me before that there's an option that you can buy all the singles as the prices tank. So if everyone's buying them and they're ripping them to sell them, initially, my guess is we're going to see every card in that set tank by 50%.
Oh, yeah, no.
Except for Jace. And Jace will not tank. He'll tank back down to $30. He will not drop under 30. So even at that point, if you sell your Jace for 25, let's see.
He's going to go back up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is Jace. Of course he'll go back up.
So the $30 that you, like, you know, he'll tank you, you're $30 fucking, so you're $10 less than what you spent on the entire set.
Okay, let's put it this way. Even if he goes down to 25, okay, that means you got to make up $15 with the rest of the set over time. Tangle Wire is already a $35 card. Let's say even if it tanks down to 10.
Right.
You don't even have to fucking make up for it over time with the rest of the set. You just wait until Jace goes back up.
You know,
maybe
you've got alt art him to Turek in there. That's going to be worth a couple bucks.
There is cards in the new V4 shiny that foil cards look good enough. I would actually play them in V.
More about foils
in V3. They're just too fucking ugly.
That's one thing I could never. The only foils I ever fucking play with on Moto are the ones that I just happen to have. Like,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know, when I get them for promos and shit like that, fucking, you know, that's fine.
I get them in a
pack or something. But like, it's not that I hate it. Like, it doesn't bother me. Like, I know it does you. I know it pisses you up. It doesn't bother me. It's just the fact that like. It's a whole different story having a fucking paper card in foil and having that. Like, those are fucking beautiful. Like, the digital objects don't fucking matter at all. It's you're getting down to the nitty-gritty of it. You're playing this fucking – this game on the computer. I mean, like, if you're going to be concerned about how the cards look, I mean – look what happens when, you know, the text is all blocky and weird and different and depending on the size of the card. And, like, there's no reason to have an aesthetically pleasing object like that.
Well, I'm hedging my bets. I'm hedging my bets that V4 is going to have they're already very clearly heard everyone that said, you know, why should we buy foils? Because they look like garbage. So they're actively going to try to make them look better. And V4 does look better. So maybe foils will go up because people, I don't know, who fucking knows?
You're right. I think that, like, you know, if they make the foil effect better and they make them look better, then yes, like, there's going to be more of an incentive for some people to do that. I just could never see paying the money,
more.
Especially like the price discrepancy, like, or, you know, the spread between the two. Like, when I buy cards on Moto, I mean, we all know I spend way too much money on cards on Moto that I shouldn't because I don't listen to you guys while we're casting. I'm drinking instead. But Like, when I buy cards on Moto, it's because I buy those cards because I want to fucking play with them. I don't give a shit if they're sparkly or not. When I buy cards in paper, that's a whole different story. Like, that, those ones I buy in foil or alternate art or Japanese ones and stuff like that because I...
They look sick.
They look sick, and I want to fuck. You know, I want to pimp out my deck, but I don't really give a shit on Moto if you guys see that I have a bunch of fucking foil shit. Like, I don't know.
I'm with you on that one, Kevy. That's the reason why, you know, I made all of my proxies that I made foil.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh, shiny objects.
Yeah, you're a ferret. So I mean, like you steal you steal like, the damn silverware for Christ's sake. So.
You know, the problem was is even back when I fucking played Dragon Ball Z, I had to have my deck all foil. It was horrible.
You're a foil fiend. So I mean,
to be honest, that's how we got ferret. That's why he is still here. Is we just put a ball in a tin foil, a ball of tin foil in like a little tiny hole, and he grabbed in and tried to grab, and he couldn't pull his hand back out, and he's still here. Like, he's still got a hold of it. He won't let go of it. He just, and he's like, finally resigned to the fact, he's like, oh, fuck it, I guess I'll just cast with you guys.
And no, I see.
But no, he doesn't.
I'm pretty sure it was because when he got in, we're like, oh, are you thirsty, little buddy? And you poured him a beer, and he's like, oh, shit, I drink beer?
Now he knows
well,
all.
Well, that and I kind of got into Durf's maple syrup stash.
Yeah, that's true. And then he met a ferret lady. I don't know where the hell she came from. But anyway.
Speaking of that, I'm sorry to go off on another fucking tangent, but we need to, like, I don't know where the fuck Durf has been. His cage is empty. Like, it's been weeks. We need to get Durf back in the goddamn cage. Have him come on for an episode,
look,
talk about shit, and then force him to draw everybody again.
I told you. Look, I told you, when we brought him to Vegas, he got loose, and then he got a taste of freedom, and he's like, I'm not going back. He's gone,
didn't
man.
Didn't we actually take and stick Polish in his cage?
Yeah, but Polish is slippery. He's a slippery wiener. He got out, man.
Polish is a slippery wiener.
That's just hashtag slippery.
I don't even want to know how and why you know that particular part is slippery, but hey, to each their own.
Anyway, so
his arm's slippery. We want to know whether it's
So what is our buy recommendation? Are we all saying, you know, tomorrow? I guess you hear this Friday morning.
Buy recommendation is if you're going to try out the whole buy thing, you should probably do it with Polish tamales and another chick.
Oh,
all right.
God.
All right. Now, my recommendation is yes.
Okay.
And what I mean by that is I don't care if you get it secondhand or if you get it, you know, the box set, it's yourself. Either way, get your Jaces.
Yeah, saying the cheapest way to get your Jaces if you wanted a playset for, you know, future, whatever, vintage, whenever they release it is, like, right here. So that's kind of what we're saying. I don't think you're going to get a better deal than $34 for 20 fucking amazing cards. So I think that I'll buy one.
How much, just out of curiosity, how much is World Wake Jace without foil?
He's 35, yeah.
Yeah, get it.
So that's fucking just that. I guess that's that. Because there's nothing
else. My recommendation, by the way, thank you for asking, Maddie, is buy all of the cards that you ever want. Just buy them. Who cares?
You know, that actually makes me wonder how much the fucking foil him to Torix are. Because that's the copper stage. Do you have any idea how hard it is to find foils?
Is it
just
really?
Because, like, MTGO traders will tell you, or Cardbot or any of them will tell you a price on a foil like that? Doesn't mean that that's the actual price, because you gotta find the fucking card first.
Well, then you're fucked. So, MTG Goldfish, this is a shout out to you. Get on that and fix that. Like, can we have a foil filter on that site so we could sort cards? That'd be awesome. But anyways, back to the world building of Theros, because I noticed something kind of interesting. So, we got to see the red god, because we got the, you know, Heliod, which is the white god. We got the black god of shadow. You got the merfolk blue god. You got the goddess of the hunt, the green one. But we got the red one. And he looks like this insane. He almost looks like with like gold shit coming out of a volcano. Looks pretty insane. So that looks freaking cool, man.
All right, before it gets irrelevant, I found the foil hymns. They're 15. Holy shit.
Okay, so
right on, there you go.
I guess I'm buying a playset from the vault then, maybe.
Honestly, I think that's a good idea because, like, my thought is this. They might go up, down a little bit, but the fact is like, those cards, they're going to limit them somehow. They're not going to just be like, oh, free Jasons for everybody! Like, just let it go. Like, they're going to limit it just like they found a way to limit Modern Masters because it was limited in paper. And we talked and talked and talked about how are they going to find a way to limit this or how are they going to do this? And then when they released it, they did Modern Masters for a very short period of time.
Okay, so hold on. This is interesting. So as part of that announcement, Modern Masters is coming back to MTGO every Monday.
Yeah.
So
isn't it Phantom Draft?
For yes. Sure. Oh, no, you're right. So it's Phantom Draft. But yes. What does it pay out in?
Probably M14, which sucks a dick. It might as well pay out in cube tickets.
I think, actually, we're okay, so this is other news. We're getting rid of cube tickets, and we're moving to new player rewards, or new player points. Yeah, and it's, and Phantom points. So your Phantom points can be used. What they're going to do is they're going to have a whole series of Phantom products. So they'll be like, I think this Modern Master is going to be one of them. Cube is going to be another.
I get it. So yeah, what they're doing is they're saying, okay, well, everybody bitches about wanting to get into Modo because it costs money.
Nope.
And I already have these cards in paper, so we're going to do a bunch of Phantom stuff where you don't actually get to keep the cards and it's a little bit cheaper for you.
No, it's actually more expensive to play. But here's the reason. They don't like it when they pay out in product and it lowers the market. So when they would pay out, like let's say if you had a Modern Masters and you paid out Modern Masters, that's going to depress the price of Modern Masters severely. And I think they're trying to find a baseline now because they've taken that redemption away, and we talked about that where they've raised the price of redemption. So the cards are staying cheaper much longer, and it's reducing the cost. Like if you look back at like the last couple of sets, they're so fucking cheap to buy a one-of set now, it's ridiculous. And so I think they're trying to move towards having Phantom points where you play a cube and your reward is you can play more cube. So the better you are, you kind of play for free, but they're always going to get you for that two-ticket entry fee. So I think there's going to be a lot more.
No, I get that. Like, and the problem with it is too. Like I have to give Wizards credit, which I don't do very often. When you're dealing with a system that they've had for years and years and years and years, like you know the paper cards, and there's the secondary market that they're not allowed to acknowledge and all that shit, and then you're trying to balance the same game. And especially now when the two cross over, like now when you can qualify for the Pro Tour off of Modo, it's not like two separate games anymore. It's the same game, but there's online and then there's like they're really starting to cross worlds. So now what they're having to do is try to balance the two of them because it's always been kind of one of those things with Modo being a lot cheaper. A lot more fast and loose than paper, you know, that kind of thing. And then, so now they're in this new territory where, like, and it just trickles all the way down, you know, whether you're talking like fucking PTQs, you know, online kind of thing, or you're just talking about the prices of cards aftermarket and the value of cards and not completely depreciating the value of cards.
Well,
the problem is now they have the world start crossing over, and so they're experimenting. And, you know, maybe this Phantom thing will help out in this area and in that area, and maybe it'll make this other area suck. And then they'll be like, okay, well, now we got to fix that. Now
I think here's something that's very interesting. They're realizing that with these free-to-play video game models and the fact that people are used to paying a monthly fee for things, that they don't actually have to give you cards. And there's probably a consumer out there that just says, look, I just want to play this game. I don't care about the fucking cards. I just like to draft, and I'm a limited player. And you know, if I win, then I get to keep playing. And I think this is like an experiment with these Phantom products.
Yeah, and it can kind of bring it's similar. Like to me, it's similar to like the whole, you know, when you sign up and you get all the fucking gold bordered fucking.
Yeah, exactly. Garbage cards.
League cards that you can't fucking sell. You can't get out of your goddamn inventory.
Can I tell you worse? That was the stupidest idea in the world. Whoever to invent a set of cards that you can't play with is so stupid. It's mind-boggling.
No,
retarded.
No. I get where that was coming from in the sense that if you're just the person that was, I get the drawing people in. Like, hey, you know, here, you $10. You sign up for Magic Online. You don't even have to buy cards to play Magic. We give you a big chunk of cards right away now.
Bam.
But without fucking up, you know, the economy of the fucking, you know, we can give you these powerful cards for you to play with and let you, like, you know, see how fucking fun this game is. You know, when you get to play with these super powerful fucking cards that they give you in that set. You know, they give you Titans and shit like, hey, no problem. Here's a Titan. But it's got a gold border around it. You can't sell it or anything. But you can play gold border cards with your other fucking friends with gold border cards. Then, as soon as you're like, man, this game is fucking fun. This is awesome. You know what? I'm going to get into the real shit. I'm going to start fucking playing for real. And then you start buying cards from them. And you're like, wait a second. I have to buy serious. I have to spend a lot of fucking money on cards like this. Otherwise, I'm playing with shit ass commons.
See, the mistake that they made was making it so you couldn't add normal cards to your DPA deck and still play with cards.
I don't even buy the DPA format. I agree with that to an extent, but I think the big mistake they made is just not letting you get the fuck rid of them.
there should be a shredder. There should just be a shredding option where I just want to donate my cards. Or what I think would be amazing is, how about this, Worth? Please, I hope you're listening. If I want to get rid of cards, how about I just can donate 1,000 cards or get like 100 cards at a time, and it gets me one ticket, one Phantom Point ticket. So if I want to get rid of 300 junk cards I can't sell, it gets me 2 ticket entry into a cube draft. Like, give me some goddamn Worth back, Worth. You know what I mean?
I agree with where you're going there, Maddie, and the spirit of things. But at the same time, like, all that's going to do is, like, a bot is going to find a way to abuse that.
Well, it's not even necessarily a bot that'd be able to abuse it. You know the one I'd find a problem with? What happens to the motherfucker who gets drunk, Kevy, and accidentally takes and, you know, has a mythic within those X number of cards?
Yeah. I'm just donating cards to starving kids in Africa, and I'm just giving away fucking Geists and Aristocrats and shit, and just all, hey, there you go. And then I wake up the next morning and email Worth, like, what? I need my cards back.
Sorry, you put it in the shredder. They're gone. Yep. It's gotta make the brrrr, like, chipper sound too. So
yes, sir.
You're done, man.
All of a sudden it's just all funk, and there's just like sparkles coming down your fucking coming down your screen. It's like a fucking
you shredded all your foils. Speaking of foils, if the community cup, because I believe that is happening.
That is part of the.
Oh, is it next Friday or this Friday?
Not entirely sure. Let me see. I know it's coming up. Okay, Magic Online players, August 30th, if you log in between August 30th and August 31st.
Yeah, so.
If we end up winning.
Which we're gonna win.
Then, of course. We lost last year, stacked ass lineup this time. Then you get a foil, or Sliver I'm not sure if it's foil, but you get the Sliver Queen, and if we lose, you get a Rakdos Cacular.
Yeah, so I mean, the Sliver Queen's pretty badass. I love that art.
I'm so stoked and I'm so pissed off. Speaking of fucking Cackler, like KYT was talking about on this last fucking A team, like, he's playing fucking zombies again. I'm like, motherfucker.
He had to steal your shit, right? Like,
that is the exact same fucking list I've been playing for fucking ever, other than the new cards with the Mutavaults, which is awesome, and the fucking Life Bane zombie. And I'm just all, God damn it, zombies is back for like a month or two. And then
start taking down some eight mans.
I know I need to. Like, I'm just going to fucking, like, what, I need fucking Mutavaults, which, like, I need those anyway. So I'm going to have to go out and buy the Mutavaults. And then the fucking Lifebane zombies are cheap. So, I'm going to, like, that's what I'm going to be playing in standard until rotation. But. Cause I'd know that deck like the back of my fucking hand. And I was just all, I asked him, I was just all, hey, I was all, what's the list? Like, you know, ship me the list. And then when I looked at the list, I'm like, motherfucker, this is my list. Black zombies. Like, this is just what I was playing for fucking ever. This is how I got into playing competitive Magic. And now it's back. Yes. So,
well, I'll tell you what, we gotta go into an eight man on the weekend then, and hit it like the old days, cause I've got a sick mono white deck that I'm playing.
Old days.
Yeah, there you go. No, the next shirt is just gonna be cheeseburgers. Hashtag cheeseburgers. That's it. Heavy meta cheeseburgers.
Yeah, on the back it can say hit it like the old days.
Yeah. No, it should just say everything is better with cheeseburgers.
Yeah, shit.
Because that's just what you want to do. You wake up, you have two men. But yeah, like, the community cup looks interesting. I'm curious if they're going to change the way they broadcast it this time, because it's at PAX, right? So, I don't know. Well, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. The team looks great. It looks like it should be interesting to watch. I hope we win. God knows how we fucking lose. Reed Duke, man. You shake that head in shame, motherfucker, if you lose. If you lose, you're out.
Reed will get it.
Yeah, he'll crush it. I guarantee. But other than that, we also got the full list of the Heroes versus Monsters, which that looks really cool. That looks like the first duel deck I want to play.
Pull that shit up.
Yeah, pull that shit up, man. That is
Is that on Mythic Spoiler, or is that not on there?
The Theros cards are on there.
Spoil what the entire set is. They just put the Theros cards up.
Yeah. But some of the Theros cards look really, really, really freaking interesting. Like that Annex and Siamede, red-white, legendary human soldier.
So cool, like, fucking Destructive Revelry, man. I am on that card.
Well, that card is... Well, hold on. We'll get to that one. So first we'll talk about this legendary creature. So, you know, 3 mana, 1 red, white, 3/2 First Strike Vigilance, but it's a legendary creature.
Sounds bonkers.
Yeah, but I don't
legendary
think that it's legendary.
Doesn't matter anymore.
Oh, it does, man. It does. It does. Because if you're playing like an aggro deck, you might want multiples, so... it's interesting. Now, his heroic, that's the new keyword, and heroic is basically whenever you cast a spell that targets the creature, the heroic clause kicks in. Now, it's very
keep
interesting.
Keep in mind,
it's,
that spell doesn't even have to resolve.
Exactly. But it has to be a spell that targets... But it has to be a spell that... No, but listen, now this is the thing that I had an argument with. It has to be a spell that targets.
Right.
So you can't overload... Let's say
Dynacharge,
because it doesn't target. Now, if you cast just the targeting part, it will. But it's interesting. So your creatures get +1/+1 and gain trample. So there's an Alpha Strike built in. So I can see a red white pump and dump deck where you pump and smash. This card sounds sick. Like at 3 mana, he's perfect casting cost.
I could even see, you know, like you were saying, like a fucking, you know, human fucking like Boros aggro deck. But like you don't even it doesn't even have to be like a relevant fucking thing. Like for fuck's sake, dude.
Well, you want it to be relevant too, right?
Well, you do want it to be relevant, but you can be in those situations where you've got the fucking team. And, you know, like the fucking...
Oh, yeah, and you just want to smash for elf?
Yeah, fuck it, dude. I cast a pacifism on your fucking guy. Don't let him do shit. And then swing with the rest of your team and kill him. Just be like, there you go. If that's what's in your hand, you know, or, like, just something little and stupid that costs 1 mana, just something that targets. And I could see that being fucking abused. And we got to see what else, you know, comes with this hero mechanic. But, like, with this guy, you know, the guy's awesome, yeah. But you can give him some dick little fucking, you know... Something, you know, instant or sorcery to targets, and then fucking, you know, pay 1 mana to fucking do it, even though it's not like what you want to do with it. I mean, it doesn't take anything, and then your whole team gets 1/1 and trample.
Now, Ferret, you might know the answer to this. So, if let's say, what is that chart? What is that green giant growth creature that where you throw it away and it gets +3/+3? Is that are you casting that spell or are you just activating that claw?
Are you talking about with the fucking
like the Rampager too? Any of those creature cards that
No, that's just an activated it's an activated ability or what kind of ability is that considered? It's just an ability though.
But
it's not a spell.
Are you sure you're not casting it?
Yes, I'm sure you're not casting it.
Hmm. Okay, well, because
if you were casting it, then you'd be able to counter it.
I guess.
Wait, what are you, like, I'm lost, what are you talking about? Like, you're talking about, like,
okay,
fucking,
so
like, blood rushing kind of thing? Like, the fucking,
blood rush, yes.
Rampage.
Exactly, yes. So, imagine that. Like, I guess that's too good then, because if you discard Rampager on this guy, and
yeah,
now
you,
he's...
you draw a green and a red, like, you're playing Nyadek.
Oh my god,
plus
that's
six,
brutal.
And then everybody else on your team has 1/1 and trample?
Or will he be +5?
But no, like...
It would be retarded. Yeah. And then it's, like, 8... 8/2 First Strike Vigilance Trample.
No, but it says target creature though.
Yeah,
yes,
but it's not
this
a spell.
Says target creature, but it says it.
Whenever you cast a spell,
yeah,
so I don't believe
a spell
that targets this guy. So Blood Rush is targeting him, but is it a spell? I don't know. So let's get a judge on that.
Yeah, Kevin, that's actually a good question.
No, it is an ability, just like cycling is an ability. Okay. It is not casting the spell, otherwise you would...
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he's right.
Like Annalie.
So anyway, so that one's that. Definitely the heroic mechanic looks very interesting. The opposite to that is the monstrosity mechanic, which is a fucking mouthful. Interesting. Yeah, it's an interesting, this Pelokis World Eater card that, you know, the div, or what is it, R&D was like, oh my god, this thing is like wrecking Future League. I don't really find it amazing. Like, it's 4 mana and it comes down for a 5/5, but I can almost cast like a pseudo...
Underestimated.
No, I, it's a decent, like, I'll play it as a 5/5, sure, but the green fireball fight kind of, like, clause where you pay XX green, and then let's, you know, you put a bunch of counters on him. Now he is monstrous, which is so stupid, you have a monstrous counter. So let's say you put 3 on, he's an 8/8, and then he deals damage, 3 damage divided any way you want among any of those targets, but then they fight their damage back, so... It's like
I bet you the reason he was ripping shit up in the Future League is because they had him then do damage according to his power rather than the number of counters.
Well, that's what I thought it would do. So that's kind of, I mean...
Obviously that's not what it does, but, I mean, if that's the way that they had it during playtesting and in the Future League, I could see how that would rip shit up.
But it's so unfair that it's X damage because of the counters you put on, but if you read the clause, each of those creatures deals damage equal to its power. So you can only fight 1/1s. Like, I don't imagine you fighting...
You would fight up to like a 2/2, maybe even a 3/3 in standard, but you're not going to take and fight anything bigger, really.
Right.
But it only works once, which is kind of shit. Because once it's monstrous, you can't add more.
You can't fucking add more.
Really?
Yeah, it says, if this creature isn't monstrous, put X11 counters on it.
Right, so if you put counters monstrous on it, then it becomes monstrous, and then you can't again. But we also don't know what's coming. We don't know if there's ways to remove monstrous counters, so you can do it again later. That might be an instance where you know... Basically, you're trying to clear a board full of fucking 1/1s or whatever, and so you just tap fucking 4 to give it 2 counters, but then you might be able to remove monstrous counters, or there might be a spell that makes things unmonstrous, and then you can late game, you can fucking pump them up huge and swing.
Well, listen to this.
You know what? I just thought of something. Okay, you know the bracers which take and duplicate activated abilities?
Oh, that's interesting, yeah.
Because... It would duplicate the ability, and you'd be able to get double, but I mean, that's even kind of quirky and niche. X.
Yeah, well, here's the one thing that's a huge flavor fail. It's a Hydra. So almost all Hydras work the same way, which is if it takes 5 damage, it loses 5 counters, which if it was built like that, that would be so amazing because you would cast it for 3. It would fight a 3/3, kill it, and then it would take its 3 counters back off, and you could use it again. That's the way I think this creature should have worked, like a real Hydra, right? It grew, it fought, you chopped its heads off, and now it can fight again. Whatever. But
I get you there.
For 4 mana, in a green deck...
I'm not going to argue with the way that they have it. It's fine.
I don't think it's...
I think flavor-wise it fails, and I think it being fucking mythic is a kind of a fail, too.
Yeah, like if this is one of our mythics for Theros, I'm upset.
Yeah, that seems more rare.
Seriously. There's got to be shit mythics in every set, and I'm not saying that this one is, but if that's the way you guys are looking at it, fine, whatever. You can call that shit mythic.
All right. Well, okay, so here's...
But you are also looking at, like, to be fair, you're looking at a fucking 5/5 for 4 that you can pump up as big as you want to.
I'll play it. I agree that big green stompies is a fucking
deck.
Oh,
I'm not going to play it.
I'll draft almost every time.
Oh, in draft, it's absurd.
There.
Yeah, well, let's not even talk about draft. In draft, it's going to be destructive, right? Like, we all know that. Now, let's move on to the interesting stuff. So
I love this one.
Okay, so what? The ordeal of four with
Perforos?
No, he was talking about Texas.
No, I love the fucking destructive rivalry, but we'll get to that. No, I really like this ordeal of Perforos. I like the
Furforos. Yeah, Furios.
Perforos.
Furforos. Furforos.
Perforos, because there's no H after the first
Perforos. Perforos.
Like, think about he's perforating that fucking fire.
with fire, yeah. So,
with fire.
So we obviously we know this is an enchantment box. So it's a one and a red, which is cool. That seems like a good enchantment price. It says whenever creature attacks, put 3/1/1 counters on it. Then if it has three
no,
or
put,
more,
put a 1/1 counter on it.
Oh, okay,
then,
right.
If it has
then
three. Yes.
If it has three or more, 1/1 counters on it. Sacrifice ordeal of. For us. And when you do, it basically becomes like a bolt.
Hey, Kevy, take a drink. You're making more sense than Maddie.
Yeah, what the fuck's going on here? What do
no,
I
do? Like, I love this fucking card. I think this is awesome. It's a fucking 2 casting cost fucking enchantment. You enchant a creature with it, and then, like, it...
You kind of get a bolt.
Every time it fucking attacks, it gets a 1/1 counter, and then you sacrifice it. The counters stay on the fucking creature, but it doesn't just keep happening. It's not like Stromkirk Noble. Every time it fucking, you know, the whole goddamn game, it just keeps adding up fucking counters. Once it gets to three, you sacrifice the enchantment, and it's
But here's what's amazing. The counters stay.
That's what I'm saying. The counters stay on there. It's not like
so
it's
you still
like,
have a 4/4.
Right.
Yeah, you cast a 1/1, you put this on it, you attack turn 2, 3, 4, now you got a 4/4, and now you get a bolt to the face?
Here's an interesting one for you guys.
And that is uncommon. The fucking
No, I don't. Kevy, here's a thought you probably didn't think of. Put it on a creature that already has 3/1/1 counters, attack, so it gets the 1/1 counter, and then it bolts them to the face right away.
What? That's really effing weird. So
No. Because is when enchanted creature attacks, put a 1/1 counter on it and stop right there.
Oh,
then if the creature has three or more 1/1 counters, there's not from it. Just if it has three or more.
Okay, so you
then
don't
sacrifice
even need
the enchantment.
So I could drop this on Pelokas here, swing in, and it instantly turns into bolt. So
when you're talking to, you know, Modern and whatnot, because they're not going to be in the same fucking standard, but like fucking champion, buff your fucking champion, throw that on it. It's fucking you. That's another fucking.
Or Scavenging Ooze. Holy shit.
Yeah, exactly. Scavenging Ooze is another good one. Fucking, but like, you know, with champion, it's like champion, your champion's a fucking 4/4.
Actually, hold on, Kevy.
Swing in, boom, and a bolt for fucking 2.
So, Kevy, red decks? Stormkirk Noble and this card? What?
Oh, no, I'm saying. Like, Stormkirk Noble is fucking awesome. It sucks they're not going to be in standard together, but that'd be ridiculous.
So Stormkirk Noble, like, you drop it, next turn you put this on it, attack, it gets two, it becomes a 3/3. Yeah. Next turn it's swinging in for a 5.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, it has to deal damage.
You're right. I was thinking for some reason that it had haste on turn 1, so then, you know, it would have already attacked, and then it would have had 3 counters on turn 2, but no. Never mind.
This card sounds very interesting. So red decks that, like, want pump M burn at the end, I don't know. This card sounds really good.
This sounds awesome. Stromkirk, Madcap skills, and fucking, fucking... Furfurus, whatever the fuck it was called.
Furfurus.
You know, I'll have to laugh my ass off though when someone tries doing something like that,
Doomblade.
On the other end of the board just goes Doomblade.
Yeah. I mean, we all know Doomblade exists. Doomblade can kill everything, so except with shit with Hexproof. So I mean, like, you can't. That argument is like stupid. You can't say that. Like, there is strategies.
Fucking Invisible Stalker, fucking...
Yeah, laughs at your Doomblade.
Kevy, you're doing it again. No, the reason I was saying that is because this is a problem that Kevy doesn't generally run into because he doesn't play enchantments, but you're asking to do for one yourself.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's amazing and it should be in decks. It's just like, it sounds cool, it's fun. In Limited, this card's going to wreck face because people aren't going to see it.
I still think it's a good card. I mean, you're right, there's shit to get around.
Burn your face. Like,
yeah. Now the card, okay, we're not even going to talk about the Calvary Pegasus here because it's a 1/1 for 2, but what's really interesting is it's got this human theme, and I don't know how many humans are going to be in Theros.
I think there are going to be.
We're losing a lot. It's almost mono-white humans deck.
Okay, you think of a world like you're talking about gods and shit like that, you know. Yeah. The other thing, like, you know, gods and heroes and stuff, like, the other thing that falls into that, like, I would think more than any other creature type is humans. You know, that you're talking like ancient Greek.
I think, Kevin,
you have your humans then.
Okay, here's the thing. They're being very cautious about how many humans they're printing, because they do know the humans are gonna, it's the best tribe. I've said this since the beginning. And the mono white human deck that I'm playing right now is fucking amazing good.
It's the most prevalent tribe, not the best.
Yeah. Well, it is, but the more cards they print to interact with it, we'll eventually get there. It's not the best yet. It's not. I know it isn't.
Okay,
but
tell you what,
both
of you fuckers, this weekend, go play in the Tribal Apocalypse player run event.
Goblins will kill me. Listen, goblins will kill. Yeah, he's going to a GB. Okay. Anyways, so Calgary Epigraph is just very interesting because when it attacks, all humans gain flying. So it's like this big evasion trick, but it is a creature. It can be Doombladed. I get it. It's not the best. It's just
not even Doombladed. It could be Elitrickried. That's rotating. No, wait, that's in Return to Ravage.
Anyways, it's not a card we should are going to waste any fucking time on. It's interesting. Destructive.
No, now we get to my fucking.
Yeah, this card is fucking bonkers. So red and a green, instant, which, dude, it already sounds good, right? And this is crazy. Destroy target artifact or enchantment, and Destructive Revel deals 2 damage to that permanent's controller. So it's
a shitstorm.
Yeah, it is a shock. It is like a sideboard. Completely, it's like a charm almost.
It's a naturalize with a shock attached.
This is going straight
in the sideboard. I was asking about this on Twitter. This is going straight in the fucking sideboard of my fucking burn deck because I have a red.
You don't play green.
I have a no. I don't.
He does
it doesn't matter.
It's not red and black, Kevin.
This is what I'm saying. I have a red.
If you marker it out, it does still.
No, like, I'm serious, though. This is going straight in my sideboard, and I'm running fucking a few stomping grounds with the fetches that are in my deck. Because the only problem I have with my burn deck is when Leyline starts getting fucking serious. Whoa. And people are packing Leyline. I can now, because I have absolutely no access
scary.
To enchantment removal.
I wonder if that's why they made it, to deal with Leyline.
Maybe. The only enchant removal you can get in red is fucking Chaos Warp, kinda, and it's not legal in Modern. So, my thought of this, as soon as I saw this, I was like, no problem. I'm gonna sideboard this card, I'm gonna run a couple stomping grounds. I was thinking running 4, but then, like, Tyler the Fro is like, dude.
No, you can just run 2.
If you have red fetches, it doesn't matter. Run fucking 1 or 2 stomping grounds and go fetch it. Sideboard wise, you know, like fucking, and now I have, not only do I have access to enchantment removal, which when you cast Leyline, you know, when you mulligan to fucking 4, which has happened to me a million fucking times, mulligan to 4 or 3 or 2 to get a fucking turn 0 Leyline out on the board. And I have to struggle my ass off to try to fight back with creatures. Now I don't have to fucking deal with that. I would be happy being able to just get rid of the fucking.
So here's the question.
Let's get rid of the Leyline. But on top of it, I get to hit you for 2.
Well, here's a question. Would you – okay, so you're playing an opponent who's going to do that to you game 2. So you know that they've got Leyline, right? You've boarded in, let's say, your 3 Destructive Revelries. Do you keep mulliganing till you get a Destructive Revelry in your opening hand?
It depends. It really depends. Like, I think that – depending on the situation, I think I would –
If you know that's what the guy's doing, like if he goes down to 6, 5.
I think that's more like, okay, if I go to game 2 and I see a dude mulligan down to fucking 3, I know, and then keep it. Like, I know that dude got a ley line, and this is how we're going to do this. Yeah, maybe I am going to fucking mull down to that. Like, you know, it would depend on the game. Yeah. It also, to me, it like that's more of a game 3 kind of situation where – like, if I see them mull down, I'm like, oh, maybe they're looking for Leyline. It depends on the metagame, too, because there's, like, when Leyline was really fucking really big because Blood Moon got really big and, like, the burn thing was really big, then it was like, oh, shit, everybody's packing Leyline in their sideboard. And so then if the metagame – if you're in the middle of that, then, yeah, maybe game 2, you're just like, all right, I'm going to go get this thing, too. I'm going to mull down so I have one of these.
The only problem is
if you mull down like that, if you're trying to mull down, or if your opponent is mulling down to a ley line, and you're trying to mull down to the answer to ley line, The biggest problem is that I have fucking two, maybe three cards that I need in my hand to make it work.
Yeah,
because
I guess.
I'm running red and black, and I need either a fucking red fetch.
You need a fetch, yeah.
I need a red fetch and a fucking, I guess two cards. So yeah, I need either a fetch or a stomping ground and the fucking revelry. And I, like, the chances of me getting both of those mulling down to like fucking three, I don't know.
All right, good point.
Okay, you don't mull down though. The reason here is pretty simple. You will eventually get the card.
Yeah, you could just wait for it to.
You could just keep destroying their board presence and just play control until you do get it, and then you start going to this phase.
Anyway,
and there's also the fact that I might, like, there's games I've won coming back with just the Goblin Guides and the Hellsparks and shit in the deck, too. So
now here's
– and I can also – usually when I go to sideboard, like, you know, when I'm dealing with the Leyline thing, when I go to sideboard, I'm like – I have the Blood Moon plan going on, too. So even though I can't hit you – you can't do anything if I get a Blood Moon out. And so we're both staring at each other until I get the revelry, and now all of the burn that's sitting in my hand kills you.
Yeah, and...
Tevi, no, that doesn't quite work that way.
Wait, what?
Anyways.
You have a Blood Moon out. How are you going to produce...
Oh, yeah, fuck! Man. God damn it.
Now, anyways, because he's going to craft a Burning Tree Emissary. Now, anyways, actually, Burning Tree Emissary, this is interesting. But what else it does is it destroys target artifact, dude.
That's it.
I mean, in modern, swords. Like, this is a very, very powerful sideboard card. It's not one of the best.
Forget swords. Goodbye, Pod.
Yeah, oh shit, that's right, Birthing Pod. I love this card. Like, I think it's the best card so far I've seen in Theros. It's that good. I'm pretty fucking excited. So, this one's going to be good. Now, the next card is insane for ramp. At least I think so. So you got the Sadar Hedonist. It's a 2-mana, a 2/1. It's a Satyr creature. It's a 1 and a green.
Okay, Patty, how is it great for ramp? It costs you 3 mana.
Just be quiet. Just listen. I will tell you exactly how it works. So, here's what it does. For 1 red mana, you sacrifice him, you add 3 red. So here is the play I have in my head. Turn 1 elf, right? Now, okay. Turn 2.
This guy.
No, turn 2, let's red green land and him. Okay? Now, actually, you could even untap your forest, Burning Tree Emissary, and him. And then now turn 3, you can sack him for Thundermaw, for Garrick. You could sack him for the 6-mana Garrick and drop, let's say you had a huge green, bam! Like, there. I know this is like Magic Christmas Land, but the fact is, this is insane red mana.
How are you going to get the 6-mana Garrick on turn? Never mind.
Because I'm tapping the elf.
I was like, the 6-mana Garrick you can get, but the Thundermaw, you're only being excelled by 1 mana anyway.
Because I would get the red. You wouldn't need the red. It's just getting you double red. Like, it's an interesting card. I'm not saying it's like bust or anything, like the priest. I think that, he was 2, you sacked him for 4 red, a couple sets back. But, this card is giving you red in green. And that's what's interesting, and I can definitely see there's some gruel kind of green-red synergies here that are working. I think it's a really cool card. I actually really like it. And it's a 2-1. You can still beat face.
I run into – like there's a lot of – like running like red-green aggro, I do run into problems here and there with – you know, because like in that you have Burning Tree, you have shit like that. But like you know, there's times where I miss Hellrider on turn 4 –
Because
I don't have the double red. Or, you know, I mean, shit, with this, you can fucking run, you know, you just sack that guy and fucking, there's your double red right there. If you have 1 fucking red and 3 green, you fucking sack this guy and now you've got the fucking mana for Hellrider.
I think that the problem here lies in is this. If you're relying on him for your deck to work, you're already losing.
No, he's a bonus. He's a no.
No, not to get it to work, but to make it more consistent.
There's just better cards you could have in that slot.
Yeah, Scavenging Ooze. I get it. Like, I'm not saying this is
Scavenging Ooze. I'm just saying, fuck. I would even rather have just about anything, even the fucking Pegasus, than that in that slot.
Oh, come on, he's a 2-1, dude.
Because that Pegasus is gonna do a ton for you in the red green aggro deck.
Anyways, I think
and again, this is another common, but at common. Like, I think that's fucking, that's not a bad card at all. I can see a lot of fucking good uses for it. Just yeah, and in, I mean, maybe being aggro-minded, but like, I can see a lot of good uses.
Heavy, I'm an aggro-minded guy too. I fucking love.
No, you're not. You're fucking control. Shut up. Now, the whole thing is like, the whole like, I'm just saying.
Another control freak, and he's telling me to shut up.
Yeah, Maddie the control freak.
Yeah, exactly.
Maddie is Mr. fucking Blue.
I am not Mr. Blue. I'm Azorius. But anyways, so he in what limited.
Mr. Blue with some white.
Listen, in limited, this is interesting. I'm not sure it's in standard, but it's a good card. Like, I'm excited how this set is coming out so far. All the cards look interesting. Like, they all look like I want to play with them in some format, so that's really cool.
See, I don't get, like, this is what I've said a million times, like, fucking, I hate core sets, and, like, it proved it again. Like,
yeah, exactly. Isn't this insane?
M14 came out, and I have, like, I don't know what most of the cards in M14 are. I have not given a shit at all. And every time I look at them, I'm just all, it doesn't seem interesting at all. Now, these come out, we got fucking, what, six of them? And I'm just all, I'm excited!
Exactly. I agree that I feel exactly the same way, and I cannot wait to play. So I've got some news. So me and Scotty Mac are going to – yeah, so we're going up to Harry T. North for Theros pre-release, I think it is. I don't know. I haven't gotten the exact details yet. But Kelly has got us hooked up. So me and Scotty Mac are going to be, I don't know, bashing face or playing fucking Game Day or whatever the hell thing they got there going. Yeah, gunslinging, and then we're doing a two-headed giant thing too, I guess. So that'd be fucking.
I remember Scotty talking about that. Yeah, you guys are doing a fucking, like, until whatever time you guys are just fucking bashing face, and then you guys are the two-headed giant, like, bounty guys. So then, yeah, like,
that sounds. Like, oh man,
you better brush up on your shit, man. You gotta lay it down. Otherwise, like, our sponsor face to face is gonna be pissed. Yeah. They're gonna be like, "Oh, dude, what the fuck? You guys keep giving away all these." Oh wait, no, this isn't face to face stuff.
Fuck it. We're doing it for Harry T. North, so it sounds.
Oh, then fuck it.
Yeah, fuck it then. I don't know. I don't even know what format we're playing. I hope, yeah, totally. I hope we're playing Theros, though. If we're playing Theros, then I'm going to be happy as shit. So fucking awesome. So that is kind of what we've seen so far from Theros. I'm not sure when we're seeing more.
When are you doing that, Maddie? What is
that? When does Theros? October something? Or when is pre-re? September 28th.
I'm gonna laugh. I'm gonna laugh. I'm supposed to be doing this weekend, and it's just playing M14. But you are so excited about Theros that you forgot and just don't show up.
Yeah, no, that ain't gonna happen.
You're like, I could have swore it was like the fucking weekend Theros came out.
Okay, so Theros drops on the 21st. Holy shit, of September? Is that right?
Yeah. Okay, so M14 just came out, but none of us give a shit about it. So it seems like it's been forever.
Yeah, no, that's really badass. So yeah, it's I think we're doing it on that weekend. I will confirm, people. I know Kelly's like, God, Matt, you're fucking horrible at this. You don't even have the information. I'm sorry, man. Next episode, I will make sure I have that info ready.
Or just put it in the show notes.
Yeah,
there you go.
I'm not gonna do that, but
you can edit it in. You can just, like, while you're editing the podcast, you can just click pause and be like, this tournament.
That's true.
We'll give them a 2 second pause right now. One.
Yeah, I don't need fucking pauses.
There you go. It's been edited. We're good.
I don't need no goddamn pauses.
I'm a multitasker, bitch. But yeah, so that's like what I'll be doing now. If you don't know, people, you're crazy.
You know what I'm doing this weekend?
Well, I was just going to say, if you're not driving right now to GP Oakland because it's Friday and you're listening to Heavy Meta, you're doing it wrong.
Then you're fucked. You're doing it completely wrong.
So let everybody know, Kevin, what is going on?
So we've got I'm going to GP Oakland this weekend, which is going to be fucking awesome. I'm going to show up late I'm going to show up late as fuck. I'm going up there, fucking our boy Scott from Sign and Blood. Like, he's got, you know, he's really trying to roll it out for GP Oakland and do his thing. And, and go up there and fucking, I'm not playing in the event at all because it's like, I actually thought last night, I was just all, wait a second, when I was sitting around thinking about this zombies thing. I'm like, if this is a fucking standard event, I'm built, I have zombies built, I just gotta fucking throw in some fucking that, what's it called, fucking a Lifebane zombie and some Mutavaults, and fucking, I'm just going to clean this fucking tournament up, and you guys are going to feel stupid because I'm going to win. And then fucking Spencer tells me, he's like, yeah, it's M14 limited. I was like, never mind, I'm sleeping in. And so, yeah, but we're like, my band's playing the after party. So we're going up fucking like early as fuck Saturday morning. We were going to go up Friday, but now we're going to go up early as fuck Saturday morning and get an extra practice in Friday night. And we're going up. I'm going to be there on site for, I want to say most of the day, but it's probably going to be like a portion of the day.
So tell everyone. So here's the tip on how to find you in a crowded building. You close your eyes and you listen, because he will be the loudest person swearing obscenities.
Yeah. Person anywhere in the vicinity.
Listen, in Vegas, 4,000 people, I'm not shitting you. I could close my ears, I could close my eyes, and I could know which corner Kevy was in.
Oh, yeah. Fucking nah! Fuck that! Yeah.
I swear to God. Like,
oh, Kevy.
I could hear him coming. That's so true.
Even while I was like shitty hungover, fucked up, drunk still. And I'm still out of my.
Now, are you doing that chaos draft? Is that thing going
to
happen?
Yeah, we're getting to that. So, okay, I'm going to be on site throughout the day, and like that's one, the reason we're going up instead of just like leaving at fucking, you know, noon or 2 or 5 and then just showing up to play the show like we usually do. Like we're going up early as fuck in the morning so that I can get fucking dropped off at the venue and I can hang out all day and sign shit and
I
don't mean sign shit is in like, oh, I'm important and I'm famous and you need to come have me sign shit. Like, I'm just gonna start signing stuff.
Like, he's just gonna start signing doors, like, and fucking
the tables, the doors, the urinals, like shit like that. Anyway, so I'll be on site hanging out at the fucking sign blood booth. And then we have the O2 drop after party happening. I believe it starts at like 8, something like that. It's like 2 blocks from the event. We've got like, there's going to be Booze Cube. There's going to be karaoke. There's going to be, it's like a Mana Deprived party, but in California, which means it's going to be better.
Oh, shots fired.
Because I don't mean to throw daggers at you, Scotty. Like, I know Scotty can throw a fucking party better than I can, but we're in California.
He might even be able. He might, Kevy. He might be able to sing better than you two.
Oh, dude, like, I guarantee you that guy can. I've heard that motherfucker sing before, and he's heard me sing before. I know Scotty can sing better than I can, and I know Scotty can throw a better fucking party than I can, because that dude is the man. But
Marcel's, I have one thing on coming.
I have one thing on him. Well, two things. Marcel's coming, and we're in fucking California instead of Canada. Like,
nah, that's not fair, Kevy. Come on, Canada's got shit.
Yeah, not what California does.
This is true.
Anyway, so we've got this fucking the after party's gonna have Boost Cube drafts. I think we might still have some like normal draft stuff going on. We got karaoke, but then Marcel and I got to talking after we made the flyers for it. So it's not on the flyer, but we're going to do chaos drafts. So basically, if you're anywhere fucking near the Oakland area, you need to cancel all your plans for the weekend
and bring three packs
and bring three fucking packs to the venue. Well, not to the after party venue. You don't
just
have to bring
stick them in your pants. Stick them in your pants and have them ready.
Don't put them in your ass because there's
no
people are gonna know. I guarantee you, people are gonna know. We're doing. Or if you want to, if you don't have fucking random ass packs laying around the house, fucking buy some at the fucking event, like we did in Vegas. Like we're like, hey, let's fucking chaos draft, and we all sat down, 8 of us. We went around and just bought whatever fucking packs we wanted to from the vendors, and then sat down and chaos drafted. But it'll be prize supported. Bring your fucking 3 packs of fucking whatever set you want, except for the fucking unsets, which I think would be cool, but.
You can't mix them.
But bring 3 packs of whatever the fuck you want to, and that's your entry fee. And whether you go buy them on site or you just have them laying around the fucking house, bring them in. Chaos drafts, prize supported, sign in blood. It's gonna be awesome. And then at 11 o'clock, Barstool Saints play for you guys, And we've been practicing our asses off because we've been recording and writing for fucking ever, and we haven't been on stage in, like,
this is going to be awesome.
And so,
I wish I could be there. It sounds...
Well, dude, what I need
yeah,
from
I'm not going to be able to be there, unfortunately.
FU members that's going to be there, the most important thing that I need is, like, one of you SVU members, somebody, is going to need to get some good video of this to fucking post on YouTube. Because
yes.
I know me and Barrett are going to just be sitting at their computer just fucking blazing away at their junk, waiting for fucking...
blazing at our junk, yeah. I mean, all you got to do is wave some, like, amazing barbecue in front of my face as your chaos drafted and fucking... I'm going to be like, you bastard.
We're going to need some fucking – we're going to need some video coverage. We're going to need some fucking – of the after party, not the event. We're going to need some video coverage. We're going to need some fucking – some pictures, all sorts of shit.
You know what? You should get some video of the event too. You might as well.
Yeah, well, you know, sure. Why not? instead of taking video of, like, you know, the matches that are going on, just be like, look, magic. And then just video the sign and blood booth. Just that's it.
Well, yeah, and like definitely give Scott our shout outs, man. Sounds pretty badass.
Yes, absolutely. It's gonna be a fucking blast, and you guys had better fucking be coming because we got fucking the GP should be fucking fun as shit, and then you've got like the greatest after party ever. Marcel put the motherfucker on, and you guys have heard about how awesome Vegas was, and Marcel has put this shit together, and so we've got like Sign and Blood, Brainstorm Brewery, Heavy Meta, all wrecking shop in a bar and just getting fucking hammered. And, like, it's going to be amazing. You guys have no idea. So if you miss it, then fuck you.
So here's something insane. So while we were talking, one of the god weapons just got spoiled. This out. So Bident of Thassa, which is the blue god.
No, put it in the thing.
I gotta fucking, you fucking bastards. Okay, fine. Hold on. There you go.
Just take your word for it.
Well, yeah, touch it. Okay, so it says a legendary enchantment artifact. So this is insane. So I was right. They're going to be enchantment artifacts. I don't know what the hell that is. And it's like, whenever a creature you control deals damage to a player, you may draw a card. And then it says for two and a blue, tap creatures your opponent's control attack this turn if able. It's rare.
Huh.
Wow, does that seem fucking weird? I don't quite know why I would want... And it's
experiment
a blue.
Experiment 1 is apparently going to be the promo.
Yeah, but it's a blue? It's a blue legendary artifact enchantment, and it causes my creatures to attack. That seems
legendary
red.
Legendary enchantment artifact. No, well, oh, yeah,
I don't know. So I guess they're gonna do like what do we have when we had the creature artifacts from Alara?
I skipped over the middle of it. Like that tap ability seems, you know, creatures opponents control attack this turn if able. That's fine. But like,
that doesn't seem blue. It doesn't seem blue at all.
It doesn't seem blue.
It does
seem kind of blue to me too. It's mind control.
Actually, that's been a red and black ability forever, but not.
Yeah, this is a ripoff of Goblin freaking Diplomat.
Yeah, but the other part of it is whenever you're a creature you control deals damage to a player, you get to draw a card.
That's
like,
fine.
That's fucking awesome. That's like curiosity, I think it is.
And here's what's interesting. So it's whenever a creature. So it doesn't have to be the one you enchant or equip. But this is a legendary enchantment artifact. So it's two types of things. So it's double vulnerable. That's the only problem with these things. They're double vulnerable to like anything that kills an enchantment or an artifact. That alone, I think they should have been I think it should have been pushed a little.
Well, at the same time, like as much as it's double vulnerable, it's like double.
It doesn't sound amazing to me.
Well, no, counts for like what is it? A fucking ethereal armor? That's an enchantment. So, or like if you're talking something where like artifacts you control, like it's vulnerable, but at the same time, it also.
Oh,
like,
check it out. So check this out now. Now we got a picture of it. Wow, so it is. Okay, so if anyone wants to know what it looks like, it looks very similar to the...
Like a big old dick!
Now, it does look like a giant tuning fork, but no, the card frame is very similar to the Esper blue creatures from Alara. So it is like an artifact creature kind of thing.
Oh, no, I've seen that card frame thing before.
Yeah, it's like the artifact blue creatures.
Well, no, Daniel was just showing me that the other night. He was talking about, like, with the gods and stuff like that. Like, that's the card frame. It's like...
Oh, yeah. It has the sparkly bits at the top.
Up at the top, it's got the sparkles and shit.
Yep. So that's, I mean, legendary equipment artifact. Yeah, so that's, I guess, cool. I don't know. I mean, I guess you could drop it. So, like, let's say I'm turn four. I'm going to swing with two guys, and then I drop this, so I draw two cards. Well, it has to deal damage, too. So, I don't know. I don't know if that's good or not. I don't know. It's interesting, but I'm kind of disappointed, man. It sucks. I don't know.
Like, it sucks. Like, because we're talking a format that, like, we don't have.
We don't know the rest of what's.
We don't have a lot of information and shit. Like, I keep reverting back to the cards. The cards that we already know. And so, like, my first instinct is like modern. I'm just all, well, they're not going to be in the same standard format together, so fuck it. Let's think about what we could do with this in modern. And, like, it seems to have good applications in modern.
And what's interesting is you don't equip it. So it's just an artifact enchantment. So it doesn't equip to anything. So it's like a tappable enchantment. Interesting. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's
And that's probably why, like, that makes sense why they made it like enchantment artifact, because it like because it's a tappable enchantment. Like, you don't have tappable enchantments.
No,
but
making
it an artifact makes it tappable.
Tappable enchantments are not anything too terribly new that has actually.
Well, the old rules used to tap them to have the effect.
No, really? Not even. No, I'm not even saying that. I'm saying that.
Which set
was it? I want to say in the Future Sight series there was an enchantment which you could tap to have it do stuff.
Whatever, shut up.
What? Whatever. I mean, I don't know. It seems bad, though. I'm kind of disappointed.
Why is it fucking, like, maybe three times the size of a thumbtack, though?
Yeah, well, it's because it's got to look huge. I mean, for a god's weapon, I don't think that...
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand this picture. Like, I don't understand, like... where they got this picture from, or like what it's from. Like, there's a thumbtack in the picture.
Okay, they got the picture from a poster.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I get you. All right.
In fact, if you want to see the full poster, that is also in where I was saying the experiment one being the promo.
Right.
Yeah, in the very, very bottom left corner, you see the thumbtack and you'll see the card.
Also, by the way...
No, I get you. I get you now.
Experiment 1 has counters, and we were talking before about the... what was that fucking card? That red lightning bolt and thing that gets counters? Yeah. It's another one. That's kind of good. Anyways, there's more. I'm not impressed with this card at all, and if this is what legendary equipment, god equipment does, I'm kind of fucking... I think that sucks ass. So, sorry, Theros. That's not good. That's kind of...
We'll see. Like, there might be some cooler shit. I already like the whole.
You know the thing that that doesn't make sense to me though, is how in the
lots
guide
of things don't make sense to you. You're a fucking parrot.
Fuck you, Kevin.
The human world is so large.
What is it seriously, tiny guys, if I can't have it.
No. The thing though is they just released today the Planeswalker Guide to Theros, right?
Yes.
And then they said that.
Yeah, it buries cities with waves or something.
No,
like that.
Not even that. They turn around and they say that Thassa, God of the Sea, and this is her weapon, right? Mm-hmm. And then they even name it Dekela. Then you see the fucking card, which is supposed to be her weapon, and they call it Biden of Thassa.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Maybe because she's a hermaphrodite.
Why give it a name if you're not actually going to name the fucking card
Because Ferret, she's a hermaphrodite and she has both equipments. Oh, there you go.
That's probably one of the funniest things I've ever heard you say.
Hey, well, oh, geez, I suck ass at what I do.
No, I did not mean that to mean
you. That was set very high.
That was a compliment.
It was a good one. But other than that, yeah, we'll have to see what happens. We'll have to see what comes out for Theros. I'm excited. I assume, I guess if it's coming out, the 21st, shit, next week, man, we're gonna probably get spoilers. I think spoiler season's gonna start, so, woohoo!
Yep.
Gonna be very excited.
Then we'll be interesting again.
Yeah, exactly. No, so we have, cause I had a quick call for Q&A, so we have to hit a couple of these. Because they're fucking awesome. Well, they probably are all horrible.
You don't want to just close out the show with me talking about playing with my dick and eating cheeseburgers.
So we're actually answering Trevor Holness's question about Pirates of Egypt and Bradley Manning ruling.
I believe if I see anything with hashtag HMTroll on it, I ignore it. But since you gave him a shout out for putting that, now it's going to be a thing. But anyways, the first question I think I'm going to hit on here is if Tyler, the Fro, he's like, what plane in the Magic Universe would be the most fun to get GP Vegas level wasted on?
That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Innistrad's probably the worst place because you'll get turned into a zombie or eaten by werewolves and shit. Yeah, so that's not cool. If you go on Scars of Mirrodin, again, no one
Dude,
really
it's pretty say, easy. Ravnica.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say Ravnica. It's a
party!
Yeah. It's just a big-ass city. Like, I would say fucking Ravnica would be the best.
Yeah, or maybe Theros if they have the wine or the god of party and wine. Dionys or whatever. He could throw some mean fucking bestiality parties in the bushes. I don't know. But anyways, that's...
I don't know. Like, then you got... god damn it, I'm drawing a blank. What the hell is a goddamn
drink.
Fucking
Quick,
Asian
block? Shot.
Drink.
Take a shot. That fixes everything. Kamigawa. Yeah.
You see, it did
Why
fix
the fuck
it.
Would you be? You just want to fuck Oreo and a woman.
No, I just want to go to, like, I've always wanted to go to Japan and get wasted. So, like, fucking.
Oh, I'm with you there. Like, let's do that.
Oh, yeah, let's not play up any stereotypes there.
No.
Stereotypes my ass! I just want to go to Japan and get wasted.
Yeah, I'm with him, man. It sounds like fun as shit, man. Let's go. We can see Sayer.
There's fucking bright lights and shit everywhere. Like, it's like Vegas, but it's like a whole different world. It's a different...
And you know how many freaking Japanese cards we could pick up there that are like dirt to them? And we're like, yeah, load up! And we come
fucking
back. Anyway.
Sweet, and we sell them all our American cards.
Yeah.
We'll be set.
You can buy America cards. We have another question. What is this? This is a good one here, right here. So, John Kegelski, Siggy02, says fantasy football.
What the fuck? John, you're not supposed to be doing Kegels. You're a man. Your name is John.
We're not insulting you or anything, but,
No, not at all. But for love of fuck's sakes, either you're doing Kegels and your name is John, and either way, that's fucked.
Like, he's skiing when he's Kegeling. It's Kegel ski. But anyways, he says fantasy football. Any sleepers you guys like more than others? We don't like fantasy football. So
at all.
What do you mean? You fucking nut.
Nina is not on this cast. We're not.
No, Nina doesn't
talking
have
about
to be on this cast to like football.
Yeah, I'm
not talking
I watch
about
fucking,
soccer.
I watch. Fucking like
or tennis.
The Super Bowl for the commercials some That's years.
Right. Yeah, I agree. I'm with that. So, next question. Ding ding ding.
This is a hockey cast.
Yeah, that's right, motherfucker. what type of wheels do you like? A Volcanic X. Anyways, so moving on.
Man, you guys are fucking this question game up.
Oh, well, here's a horrible question. So Ryan Brommel, bro. Brother Ryan, are you a priest? Brother Ryan, you
Good
can't
evening, Brother Ryan.
You
can,
even
can you show us on the doll where the bad priest touched
you? Oh man, that's right, Brother Ryan, you can't.
Can
touch
you please show us on the doll where Brother Ryan touched you?
Actually, I believe it's more like, can you show us on this altar boy where he touched you? But anyways, he said, he goes, if we had to bang a chick in the MTG community, who and why?
Community? Oh man, that's gonna get us in trouble because I'm gonna start saying shit. Well, I was hoping it would be one of those, like, you know, like in the MTG universe, like multiverse, yeah, like, you know, hey, oh, bang Chandra, whatever. But like, oh no. Man, you're gonna get me in trouble.
Yeah, I mean, all I'm gonna say is cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. But if we had to, the honest truth is, it would be Heather, right? We're not banging. No, it would be.
We're not banging. But
yeah, there we go. Double threesome, Heather. Or wait,
least Heather said in her episode, she said she we were talking about her banging Medina. She's like, "Oh, I can't speak for fucking absolutes or anything. Like, I'm not saying it couldn't happen in an alternate universe. I'm just saying like it hasn't happened." So, yeah. You know, Heather was down as fuck to at least fucking throw that out there. Like, I don't know. I mean,
we're all
going to get in trouble, though.
No, we are. Well, you're asking three married men almost like this question. So we can't really answer it. But I mean, anyone.
No, I got an answer. Matt.
I'm not a fucking chick. He said underscore chick.
Underscore chick. Okay.
Yeah. And you can't. I mean, the truth is, like, deck tease. Like, that's been our hottest cast, so.
That was
a steamy fucking cast. I would have to say.
Oh, you were talking about Erin?
Yeah, I would have to say like her exploits with neckbeards in secret rooms.
Yeah, if you guys want to bang from the magic, Erin is the one that will let you do it.
there you go.
Love you, Erin.
Yeah, there's all
so
the.
So here, let's give a shout out to Heather, to Erin, and girl nerds, or what the hell is the YouTuber? Girls on nerds.
Captain Thundercunt.
Oh, there you go.
Girls on nerds. Casey, she's hot as shit too. Man, I'm gonna get myself in trouble.
Yeah, honestly, this is a question we're gonna get in big trouble. We gotta mention
the people we do, so we might want to stop now.
Okay, we have to stop because this is going to get edited if we keep talking. Cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Next question.
I'm gonna say final answer, Calvary Pegasus.
There you go. He knows what he's talking about.
King Pony.
Spike Mo, Team Old.
That was for you, Jack LaCroix.
Yeah, Jack knows. Jack knows. For the fucking pony love. the brony community is like, yeah!
He's all, I love you, Kevin!
He is, and he's drunk out of his. Actually, he doesn't drink anymore, if you can believe that.
That's why we don't let him on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, right. I didn't drink for the longest time, and then I met you fuckers.
See, I was pure too, and then I met Kevin, and now I'm a fucking raging alcoholic. It's awesome.
I have this effect on people.
It's horrible.
Jack is my friend tonight, and I'm not talking LaCroix.
Yeah. Oh, he's my friend still. T-Moles. He has a great question. He's like, tacos, burritos, or fajitas? I believe.
Fucking come on.
Okay, what kind of sexual innuendo are we trying to go here?
There isn't. What's the best food? Fajitas. You cannot not. What? Fajitas?
No, I get the sexual innuendo. You get tacos is a vagina and a burrito is a...
Is an asshole?
No, a burrito is a phallic object. You know, you got a taco.
Oh, yeah, okay. And what's a fajita?
And a fajita is just a fucking mixed mash of all of it.
No, I think a fajita is more so the mess after the matter.
Oh, I see. I thought a fajita was a vagina in a car accident.
I don't know how... I don't know how we got to this. I actually was thinking food because I haven't even. Reason I figured out that the reason I get so goddamn drunk on this fucking cast we were talking about earlier it's 6 o'clock. I gotta fucking get off work at fucking 5. If I get off at work at 5, I have to haul ass home, either clean myself up or fucking talk to my girlfriend. Fiance for a couple minutes, and then I have to jump on cast. So I haven't eaten since lunch. If I ate lunch, because I'm drinking Rockstars all day, and then I get home, I'm like, all right, sweet, I'm going to podcast for 3 fucking hours, and all I have to put in my stomach is booze. So no wonder I'm always wasted on this cast.
Well, normally I'm not much better, though, because I go straight from work to podcasting as well.
Yeah, but you work in front of your computer. You can eat the whole time.
I do, but that's the thing. I'm kind of tethered to the fucking thing. So, you know, it's not like I very often get the chance to go make dinner like I did tonight, which was awesome. I had the best drunk food dinner ever.
What is drunk food dinner? What is that?
Oh, dude, there's
grease and water, grease and water, grease and water.
No, no, no. In this case, it was bacon.
Take a shot of grease and then drink some water. Take a shot of grease. Oh.
Okay, well, I got the grease there because you got bacon.
Hmm. Oh,
then
bacon.
I had French toast and scrambled eggs.
Oh, that sounds fucking great. Why are we talking about this? It's like almost midnight here. I'm going to eat.
I don't even want to talk to you
anyways.
Right now.
I'm hungry. Okay, so Trevor, no, we're not answering your crappy question. Trevor, get out of here. Les, he's like, what's the next heavy metal shirt going to look like? I don't know exactly.
Have a cheeseburger on the front.
Yeah, actually, that could be cool.
It's going to have a dick in the front with a rainbow.
No. You know those? No, you know, yeah. Oh, dude.
This, hey,
dude,
Jay,
you know those
on.
Fucking pictures that are all popular on memes now where it's just like fucking like some dude sitting there with his cat and then like all
yes.
fucking faded away, like in the background yes. is like another picture of him with his cat and shit like that.
Yes.
You do one of those, but it needs to be like a cheeseburger and a dick and fucking
Listen.
A rainbow and the heavy metal logo and then just me like all stepbrothers style, like fucking. Just wearing glasses and a fucking button-up shirt.
Now,
like, very long.
All I'm going to say is you're welcome, Heavy Meta fans, that I'm in control of our merchandise. Because if I was not, you would have shirts like that.
But you would love it!
Actually, it does.
Did you see my tweet this morning about, like, fucking... Like the whole like Star Wars playmat fucking thing?
Yeah,
like,
no, that's... We,
yeah,
we
I want fucking J-Boosh... Howling at Death Star.
Actually, now, Kevy, I did get a we actually had a legal summons from the A-Team's lawyer, and they said that we are not allowed to speak about Star Wars because they own that segment.
They own.
Jay Bush is like, get off my shit, man! Don't be talking about Star Wars. Magic is dying. I got to take this over. We're not allowed to talk about Star Wars. But
no, my it's not about Star Wars. It's about me having a playmat that's Jay Bush howling at the Death Star.
Oh, I could see that. I see that. That's fair comment. Actually, I want that too. If you get one, just get two.
Like I'm talking like straight up truck stop T-shirt, like fucking.
Oh yeah, with the wolf howling at the moon.
Yeah,
yeah that's.
Yeah, but
sick.
It's just Jay Bush howling at the Death Star in a dream catcher for no good reason in the background, and it just says Canada. That should be our next fucking shirt.
Yeah, now we're putting A-Team members on
we'll
our
we'll use J-Boosh for the next heavy meta shirt.
It would sell. It would sell fucking awesome. No, in all honesty, I've been looking into doing hoodies. Ben was like, yeah, it gets cold up here in Canada.
Ooh,
we want a hoodie. So full zip-up hoodie. And then I've got a really good idea. I'm going to take a bit of what Proxy Guy did with that new set expansion symbol with the three brass knuckles.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm going to do something really cool with it. And it's going to be very subtle, so it's not going to be like the loud-in-your-face things. Because
oh, come on. You know what you can do? You can have the three hosts. You can have, like, and all of and it'll be your dirt versions. You have the dirt ferret in the middle, then you and Kevy off to the sides.
Dude, it's all subtle, man. It's like black on black. But I got a really good idea because I've got a new contact, and they do really high-end shirts and stuff where they blow out the ink of the shirt and then replace it with ink so you can't feel the ink. So it's going to and they're going to do
exactly
us like – yeah, and they're going to do us a super deal. So we're talking like a $40 shirt we might be able to get for like 14 bucks. So I don't know.
Oh,
shit. Yeah,
I gotta order 200 though, but I figure maybe
we
can
it
talk.
Might be
I don't
time
know.
For
we'll
us
figure.
To cross into that fucking realm where we have to like, actually instead of just doing Teespring shirts, we can start.
Yeah,
doing
I mean Teespring is okay, but I'm not. I want to do a fucking one I can wear every day.
Yeah, well,
you
can yeah,
be on that. A $14
awesome,
hoodie is
but...
fucking especially
oh,
when
well,
it's
I was saying,
cheap as hell.
No, I was saying shirt, not hoodie.
Oh,
yeah, shirts.
I haven't priced that what the hoodies cost yet. But
when you're talking that kind of price discrepancy for like for a shirt, then like the hoodies are going to be like normal fucking price. Like you go to fucking Walmart and buy.
Yeah,
hoodie,
that's what I imagine because you're going to get this awesome like silk screening shit. And what's great is they can do any panel, so I'm not limited to like center panel, left panel. I can do bridged panels where I can say I want it to go from the left breast all the way to the back quarter shoulder. Like, we can do any placement we want. We could do placement on the hood itself. Like,
so that, like, when you wear it, you have people walking in circles around you trying to read it.
Like, yeah. We'll do a giant spiraling cheeseburger text. So I've got some ideas. They're in the thing. I think I've done enough shirts, and I want to do the next thing we do. I want it to be like fucking amazing. So.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, this is hilarious timing.
Okay.
You know how we were just talking about Erin, right? She immediately tweets, "I have a date on Sunday night. Woohoo!" Kevin, were you tweeting her?
No, I wasn't. I've been staring at fucking the Pegasus the whole time.
Pegasus. So Chad Tompkins, we're going
to
take
Before you get off of this, though, Maddie, speaking of merch, we do have to, because we had an issue at first. We had problems with the fucking playmat stuff. But we've got the playmat link for inkedplaymats.com is back, like, up and running. Well, actually, I don't think it was not running at any point. I think we were just too drunk to figure out what that web address was.
It was down.
We had some issues with the mana symbols because of copyright, whatnot.
It's off.
And so it was down for a while. So that's all fixed. So you guys can go to fucking, what is it, inkplaymass.com/heavy meta. No, that's the problem I think that we had. It's not slash heavy meta. I think it's slash something, then heavy meta playmat.
Oh, my God.
God damn it. We have to put it in the show notes. But the heavy meta playmats are available from inkplaymass.com. You can get the
you can't find them when you browse for them? Is that it?
I don't think the way his site works, I don't think you can browse.
Why don't I see them on our thing?
No, there's not a hidden search bar. It's not a hidden thing. It's just, like, there's not a search bar for it. It's like you just you go to the link. Which is one thing that I wish the guy would do is just have a search bar for it. But this is the way you do it, to be honest. It, like, the way I found the link again is you just go on fucking Google and go inkplaymats, heavy meta, and then all of a sudden the link shows up.
Kevin, I thought you had an understanding. You do what I tell you to do. What's the
shit?
What the fuck? How did you get on here? Oh, damn.
Where the fuck did she come from?
Do you really want to know where I came from?
No, for the love of God, no!
I was in your closet. Oh, man.
No, because then we're going to have to edit that part out of the episode.
This is freaky, man. I don't know what happens
when you leave the door open.
Listen, we are moving neighborhoods. This neighborhood is scary.
Erin can just show up whenever the fuck she wants to and tap you on the shoulder.
I knew there was an extra key missing last night. Yeah,
you know, it's kind of like you say Beetlejuice three times, they show up. Well, they're there.
I'm like the Frank Lepore of podcasting. You say my name three times and I show up.
Oh my God, don't say Frank Lepore again. Oops.
I literally still have like the fucking the Mythic spoiler, fucking like Theros spoilers up on my computer screen, so I'm just sitting here bullshitting, talking. And fucking Erin sneaks up behind me because I wasn't looking at the Skype.
There you go. So Erin, have you seen some of the Theros spoilers? Since you decided to show?
I've seen the three or four. I saw the big worm, and then I saw there's like a couple. That was bad. I didn't even plan that one.
It's been a fairly sexually charged episode for the last half hour. Right? Anyway.
No, so I saw the Hydra, and then I saw, I guess, in red, there's that couple. The couple on the balcony, cool, first strikers. Yeah, so I saw that
that's
one.
Like, that's Kevin and Erin, right?
Fuck it. Sack it. Fucking do it!
No. That's great too. And then I read the Planeswalker's Guide, and I saw the talk that people think that the gods are going to be like some form of like enchantment creature type.
I think so because we just got spoiled. We got one of the legendary god equipments.
Right, and then people were thinking that was going to be a thing too. So that kind of makes sense because if you recall in M14 they added that really weird that black like it's an enchant equipment where like if it's on you have to like sacrifice what it's equipped to. So that kind of gave me a hint that we were heading into an equipment direction. But even then, if you're just playing black, just kill the creature. Like, why are we taking the long way around the bend? I don't really.
I think that's more a plant for some of the swords in Modern and Legacy. That
right.
That's a pretty good sideboard card there. to battle that shit. But we have a question. Since you're here, and this
questions this whole time, and then you show up, and we're like, "Oh, sweet! Now we can make you answer them."
Yeah, now you have to answer the questions. Let's see, where was our question here? Oh, so Ross from Bolt the Bird, he has a question. He's like, "What is the best mixed drink or beer drink?" So he's like, "I don't know if you drink." Yeah, the best mixed beer drink. So I'm curious because we know Kev.
A girl who doesn't drink.
You should
oh,
really
what?
What are you doing on this cat?
Yeah, I mean, I can do like I can have a drink, but I usually like nurse it throughout the night, and I'm
oh,
not
I see, like
drinker.
A girl that doesn't drink in the sense like I don't drink a lot, like not you're not one of those
right.
Like, I don't drink anymore.
Kind. Right, it's like I don't set that. That's not in my agenda. It's like there are people right. Where when you ask them what they're doing tonight, it's I'm getting drunk. And like for me, it's like, you know, I'm going to a bar. I will have a drink. If somebody buys me a drink, I'll have a second drink. But it's not like my goal for the night. You
oh,
know?
Sweetheart, you need to like oh, you haven't lived.
Nobody's
yet.
Seen it. Aaron's drunk tweeting is priceless, though.
Yeah, they're
Aaron,
having a
Aaron. For the love of God, if I can give you any advice in your life. It is start drinking heavily.
No.
I actually live. There's
so
a liquor store. There's a liquor
when you're
store
a full-blown drunk,
beneath my
it's
building.
So...
Well, I live what? In a loft apartment building, and then the building that I have underneath us, there's a suit shop, and there's also a liquor store. And it's run by these Indian guys. And if you're even, like, remotely female, they give you a discount. So there's definitely a recipe there for disaster. If I wanted to be a drinker, I could be, but... I'm a
I'm
good girl.
You, that you should try it for a week. Like, I don't condone this for anybody else. Well, I do condone this. Fuck this. fuck this politically correct. If you're not a, like a heavy drinker, I condone you trying to be a full blown alcoholic for a week and see if you come back. just
and see
just
if you survive.
Go out every night of the week, and if you can't go out, if you can't afford to go out, go buy yourself a fucking $10 fucking jug of vodka from the grocery store.
AA sponsors across the country cringe.
Listen. All I gotta say.
Trying to be an alcoholic once in their life because I, you know what, you know it might cause all sorts of problems, but it makes you awesome.
I'm gonna be like, they're gonna turn me into like the female Kevi Mehta. I'm gonna be like.
Kesha Mehta.
Yeah, people will like, take this country down.
Right?
Oh, that. All I gotta say is swing by GP Oakland. and chaos will ensue.
We will burn this
motherfucker to the ground.
And I probably like fancy drinks. Like, I love mojitos. I know you're not into fancy stuff, but I love a good mojito. I like martinis. I tend to like alcohol where I don't know it's alcohol. Like, for example, there used to be a club in Milwaukee called Have a Nice Day Cafe, and they were known for something called fish bowls. And they would make a fish bowl, and it was Everclear and Kool-Aid. And they would give you these really long, like, swirly straws to drink it out of. I didn't know how strong Everclear was. I think it's like 180 proof alcohol, something like that. Yeah, and I remember we went for ladies' night, and we would go, and there'd be like four of us. And, you know, if I don't know it's alcohol, I'm just going to drink. So
I should bring some apple pie with me when I go up to Milwaukee.
So it was like, for ladies' night, they were playing all these 90s songs. Like, you know, we're listening to like songs from our childhood, and we're drinking Kool-Aid, and you feel like a kid again. And the next thing you know, I am drunk.
You're banging some big gorilla in the back.
No, it wasn't that bad, but they definitely had to talk me off a speaker at 2 in the morning. I was like, one more time.
Yeah, one more time.
It was bad.
That sounds like my life.
That's typically how I get drunk because I don't realize how strong things are, and I'm just like, what's this? Oh, tastes good. I'll try it. And the next thing you know, I'm gone, and yeah.
Oh, man. unreal. But since it is late in the cast, we were just about to hit good old shout-outs. I'm not a pussy, man. I'm not a pussy. Since we've been shouting out the whole freaking cast, there was one shout-out that was kind of into the comments. And since you arrived maybe 10 minutes too late for it, it'll be kind of funny when you listen to the episode tomorrow or Friday, because it's very interesting that you popped on. But shout out to you. Shout out to me.
Oh, fantastic.
Straight up, bam. All of us just shout you out. Yeah.
Yep. You and your cast, the Duck Tees.
Thank you.
Because it's awesome.
Awesome.
People love it.
I did that. I listened to your John Finkel one, by the way, and I gotta say, I can't believe you pulled so much out of Finkel. Like, that sounds really bad.
It's funny because a lot of people didn't like that episode, actually.
Really? See, I found Finkel fascinating.
Well, the problem is that here's the thing. I think being Finkel, people automatically have their claws out. And I've never had somebody that big on the show before, and I didn't realize that he had haters, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
And there were people that were – they tore apart everything. Like, they were – he was a little nervous, like, so he did say you know a lot. And that's also just how he talks. And I think to sort of pick on somebody for how they talk is a really low blow. And, I mean, there were people that were – they were picking on how he talked. They were picking on the fact that we didn't necessarily – some people thought that we didn't mesh very well. Because I'm very outspoken and very bold, and he's very professional and very careful not to step on toes. And
he didn't come across professional at all. That's, I think, what blew my mind.
Really?
He came across very casual. Yeah,
okay. But yeah, I actually got a lot of, I mean, people were nice about it. Like, nobody was shitty and said, oh, it sucked. But there were a lot of people that were like, you know, maybe you shouldn't do that again, or maybe it wasn't what we thought it was going to be. Or, you know, I did get a lot of criticism for that one.
Ah, fuck those people, man. That's bullshit.
I was just happy to even be associated with him. Like, to even have my name in the same sentence, I'm happy. Like, I can't.
In the same podcast, your podcast, like, that's awesome. Like,
hey, all you've done, Aaron, is lower the bar for John Finkel so that he'll eventually come on this show. So
yeah, he'll show up here at some point.
Yeah.
I've already showed up on a podcast. I might as well just shoot my career down the drain and go on heavy meta.
Speaking of criticisms, though, the one I just did with Anthony Lowry, I seriously have the most likes and the most comments on ever. Anthony Lowry.
I haven't heard that one yet.
He's a very vocal fan base, and I really didn't expect that out of his fans. Like, I'm on like 20 plus likes so far. I've never had that many likes before. I got a number of retweets from them, and it's just a number of comments. I'm on like 9 comments so far, which doesn't sound like a lot. But his fans really came out in droves for that one, and I had no idea.
Have that guy on so we can get our comment count up.
Listen, comments and any, we realize people just don't comment. They're lazy. Like,
yeah.
It's very hard to get comments, so.
Hey, we're just as guilty when it comes to that, so, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I could comment on the fucking episode, but, like, I could just push the shit on Twitter, so.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was just really surprised. Like, if you would have told me that that would be, like, my most popular show ever, like, Anthony Lowry, I never would have believed it. Nothing against him, of course, but I've had some bigger names on, and, I mean, even my Kibler show didn't get even half of that, and, something about his fans, they loved it. So that was cool.
That's cool. That's
they really were cool. Like, get away from him, Aaron. That's what it was.
She's all, what I haven't told you is what they said in the comments.
Yeah, exactly.
No, he's a really smart guy.
You know who I'm dying to see you get on is Flores.
Oh, Jesus.
Come on. I think that would be a power-packed, insane episode. Like, you'd either choke him to death or, like, it would be the best radio ever.
I'm definitely working around to it. I know my next guest is going to be Jason Ault from Brainstorm Brewery. That's going to be
That'll be an awesome episode.
He's going to be on tomorrow. It's going to be a lot
of
fun.
Drink every time he says seance.
Yeah, we're going to talk
Love
about
you,
Gen Con and things like that. I definitely know who I want my episode 60 guest to be, because every like season premiere, as I call it, I try to have a really big name on. So, like, Kibler was my season premiere, Finkel's my season premiere. I really would love to get Marshall Sutcliffe if I can.
That'd be cool.
That would be good. Also, I think getting anyone from the Wizards team, like Marrow or Aaron.
The problem with Wizards is, okay, how can I put
can't.
This?
Yeah.
Well, if they're too dry, then yeah, like it's a
no. Bad. I'll just be completely honest with you. Okay, so when you contact Wizards PR, I don't know what PR tells those people, but they are terrified of PR. Like, and I've heard that PR has very scary powers attached to them. But
Their ass fired Michael Robles, so yeah, I think they have some power.
I don't know about that. Like, it's just very interesting how these are people. I mean, I've never met the person in charge of PR before, but I imagine her like having, you know, scales and venomous breath and like tight clothes. Like, I don't know what she does.
She's Veraska.
There are some people, like, I have friends who work for Wizards, and I'm not necessarily going to name names. They won't even, like, say her name.
Wow.
They're just like, really? Don't. We don't even want to go there. And it's
we
like,
don't breathe her name.
Right?
In this,
it's like, what is so.
In this realm.
And I'm fairly convinced that I'm going to run into her one day. Right? I don't know. I'm fairly convinced that I'm going to meet her somewhere, not even realize that it's her. I'm like, oh, she was really cool. we had like a coffee and chat, and they're like, don't just step away from her. Don't step away. Like, so I definitely don't know how to deal with that, because there's a lot of back and forth where people are very scared about stepping on PR's toes, and I don't have those problems.
Yeah, that's like, one thing we don't
have. Navigate that whole thing, and like, you should, like, for your next season premiere, you should have on like Channing Tatum. And just be like, oh.
And just fuck magic.
Like, so, yeah, just be like, so what do you think about the new set that's coming out? And he's like, what?
Who? Huh?
I was like, I saw a magic show one time. Yeah. It was crazy. There was like a dove and a hat. And like, and then just don't break character. Just keep talking to him about magic. And just be like, oh, this season, my season premiere, I've got Channing Tatum.
Speaking of deities, I got to meet a deity this weekend at Gen Con. I met John Vadina.
Oh, did you really?
I did.
What the hell was he doing there? I thought he quit Magic, that fucking
liar. He was there for games, because there's other games to play at Gen Con, but he was very nice. He gave me a hug.
He
was a great brief meeting. Yeah, he was playing Star Trek Catan when I ran into him, so he was doing that. Yeah. It was a very brief meeting. I met his wife. I made his wife jump. That was good.
Are you Heather? No.
No, I swore. I was very loud. I had just come off of a top eight. I top eighted a TCG Open, and
nice.
Congratulations.
That we won't even get there. I swore at a judge. I told the judge he wasn't the boss of me. It was a good time. I lost on that one. I'm not proud of myself. But yeah, so I met him, I met his wife, and John, of course, was like, how's it going? And I was like, you know, oh, I just hopped into TCG. It was a shit show. And you could literally see his wife like jump when I said shit show.
And so we don't use foul language in the grace of God.
In the house.
So I probably did these stuff a little bit, but he was very nice.
That explains why John would never come on the show.
Yeah, he was really nice. He gave me a legit t-shirt, but it ended up being a little big for me. So he said he would get me a smaller size, and then he never tweeted me after that. So.
Yeah, obviously.
So, done.
I'm still waiting for my medium t-shirt. But no, that was a lot of fun. I did top eight and open. I was very pissed, though, when I got to my first round of the top eight, because I lost to a bullshit deck. And then the judge got mad at me when I started picking on my opponent. And then I basically told the judge after I had lost, I was like, well, I'm no longer in your event, so you don't get to tell me what to do anymore. And then the judge wrote a note on the bottom of the bracket sheet, and then when I went to hand in the prize, I literally saw a paragraph that started off, Aaron Campbell.
Oh my God.
Said about me, but I still got my playmat, I still got my $50, and I still got my max points, but he definitely wrote something on the bottom of that page.
You're planeswalker points.
You were such a disruptive force. Yeah, maybe after the event, you told the judge to go fuck himself.
Some people learn that sometimes. And tell me you wouldn't be pissed. Okay, so you get to the top eight of a tournament, which is a big deal. I've never top eighted anything along those lines before. It's a big deal. Mind you, only 35 people signed up, but still, it was a big deal.
I love it.
So I top eight. Okay, big deal.
Okay.
My first round of top eight, I see he's playing Breeding Pools. And I'm like, okay, ban control. I'm cool with this. Because it wasn't ban hexproof, because he went like three or four turns. And he plays Acidic Slime. I'm like, okay.
Oh, he's going to Progenitor Mimic Slime.
So then he drops an Evil Twin, calling Acidic Slime.
Evil.
I'm already out of swamps where I can't even mutilate at this point. So I'm like, okay. And then he goes Thrag Tusk. And I'm like, I'm not that worried yet. And then he goes Progenitor Mimic.
And it's over, dude.
So then I draw a Doomblade. So I'm like, I'm in this. And then I go to target it, and he goes, Simic Charm, give a hexproof.
And I'm like,
what kind of bullshit deck is this? Like, to get all the way to top eight and lose to that, so I was
that, yeah, that's F&M decks, man.
Then he comes back for round two, and I'm like, okay, goddammit, put in the extra Mutilate, put in the extra, I'm not having this shit, I'm ready to go. And then he's just right out of the gate. Like, even on, like, turn two, you know, he's Far Seeking and all this stuff. And then he gets out, like, a turn four Acidic Slime, I want to say. Same thing. I'm just like, well, I'm going to Doomblade. Ranger's Guile.
And oh, I'm my, like, God, wow.
What is this? And I lost it at that point. So I'm
what
already
is
kind
this
of
garbage?
Right, so I'm already picking on him. I'm already kind of throwing barbs at him. And then when he gets done with the round, he goes, well, good luck to you. And I literally looked at him, and I'm like, you can die in a fire.
Now, Aaron. Be honest. Now, when Smitty was there, because you faced Smitty, and that was his new – it was his cloning slimes deck. How could you say that's bad?
Wait, what? thought.
So then the judge did not like that. Judges apparently don't like it when you tell someone to die in a fire. So the judge, his exact words to me were, Aaron, don't roll over your opponent.
Don't roll over your opponent.
Don't roll over your opponent.
Okay.
So at that point,
so
I
looked, all you have to do at that point is you're not allowed to roll over and over on top of them like
steamroller.
You want to?
Yeah.
You just, you're not allowed to actually roll over top of your opponent.
But at that point, I already lost. So that was the point where I got up and I started packing my things. And the judge kept trying to, like, you know, calm me down or whatever. And that's when I said to him, I was like, I am not on your event anymore. You don't get to tell me what to do. And the judge didn't like that. And I walked away.
Oh, my God. Okay. So I have a question. Like, I haven't been at enough, like, serious, like, sanctioned events and shit like that. Like, GP Vegas is, like, as about as far as it gets. But, like, judges, do they wear, like, name badges?
Yes.
Okay, can just please, somebody that listens to this show, please, for the love of fuck's sake, can one of you guys wear a badge to the next event that you judge that just says San Diego?
Oh my God, can someone do that?
That way, somebody can get a video of them just
actually
shooting at them.
Hold
It'd
on, Kevin.
Awesome.
Okay, so what you'll need to do is GP Oakland. You get a sticker.
All right. Somebody please be judging GP Oakland. Arthur Halavis, I know you're the judge.
No, Kev, you're missing it. Here's what we do. You go to the engraver things at the mall. You get a little gold nameplate, and you just put San Diego on it. And then when you're at the thing, if a judge gives you shit, you're like, here, I need to give you something. And he's like, wow, what is this? It's a special badge. Let me pin it on you. Then you pin it on him. It's like, take a look at your badge.
Just slap him lightly in the fucking chin and just scream.
No. We do not condone those. But, Aaron, quickly tell us, like, what is Gen Con like? Is it worth it? Is it amazing, as everyone says?
I mean, you definitely go for the people. I mean, Magic was really underrepresented this year because they didn't have the World Cup or anything happening, which you could tell that whoever organized the thing didn't take that into account because attendance for a lot of the events was down by quite a bit. Like I said, we had a TCG 1K that only 35 people signed up for, and they give playmats for the top 32. So, you could have played like a Colossal Whale ramp deck and still got a playmat. Means
that would have been so shitty to be one of those final three.
And somebody did.
Gen Con is fucking awesome. When it was still in Milwaukee, I went there.
It was a lot of fun.
I am, from what everyone said, like that's on my bucket list. But
yeah, you definitely go for the people.
It has to, like you said though, if there's a Magic event that's coordinating with it, it sounds like I would definitely go. But if there isn't.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of fun. We did Team Trios on Friday, which was me and John Douglas, and we did the 3-on-3. That was a lot of fun. I did the Celebrity Sealed on Saturday, where you got to play against guys from R&D and things like that. So you definitely go for the people, number one, because you run into so many cool people. Like, I met Stibbs and Eric Klug and Jason Alt and all those guys, and I got to hobnob with them, and then you go for the events.
Jason Alt's a dick. He's not one of those people.
Jason Alt's awesome.
I do too. Like, to be honest, like I love that dude with all my fucking heart. Like, him and I could sit in a room and talk shit to each other for hours on end and still be fucking at the end of it.
Gen Con's a lot of fun if you go for the people first and then the games. The problem with Gen Con is people go for the games and then they don't do any socializing, and it's not as fun that way. You definitely want to go and hang out, and then if you happen to do things after the fact, that's fine. But I met a lot of really cool people. I got to play in a lot of unique events. The Celebrity Sealed was a gong show, and I mean that in the best way possible. Because every round, they have themes to them. So for the first round, the theme was the Howling Mind round. Everybody draws an extra card. And then the second round was every creature has fire breathing and just crazy things like that. And the last round was the best round ever. I'm supposed to talk about this on my show tomorrow, but I'll do it tonight.
Yes!
So the last round, there's like an announcer, and he gives like a spiel as to what the round's going to be like. So he starts talking about it, and he's on the big microphone, and he's like, so throughout the years, there have been broken mechanics that some people have loved and other people have not. And R&D has realized they've made mistakes, and since most of our celebrities are from R&D, we're going to make them confront that mistake. Every card you play has Cascade.
Oh my God.
Oh,
what?
Wow.
And you could literally see all the R&D guys like, I want to go home! And so you'd play something as simple as like Elvish Mystic. I don't have anything cascade for zero, so they're cascading their whole deck. And Gavin Verhey was my opponent for that round, and he was playing more of a red-blue, like, Izzity type deck. And he was like, I don't really have any permanents, so this is going to suck. So he would go to, like, cancel! Cascade for two that I can cast as an instant. It was bullshit, but it was so funny. And I've never really played with cascades. I was playing like a Celestia aggro thing, so I was in heaven. I was like, "What? All the swords free!" Like, I thought it was awesome. But you could see just the guys like, "Oh God, I would have never approved this mechanic if I was
working exactly. You
know?" And it was hilarious. It was so much fun. Just cascade for two.
That sounds awesome. Yeah, it was like, a lot of fun. Definitely, I agree. Like, good people make it any event. All that much better, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Lots of fun. I met some really, really cool people, and, you know, you will never really see them again. Like, you see them, you know, once a year, and then you can pick up where you left off, and it was a very, very good time. I recommend it for anybody.
Sweet. Gen Con. Make something amazing. Modern Masters 2 at Gen Con, we're there.
Modern Masters was there.
What I started to wonder is, you were saying before, Maddie, like, you know, you, like, if there's an event tied to it, like, okay, Gen Con, something like that, that's fine, but there's, like, an event tied to it, then, you know, it makes it a little more appealing, a little more interesting. But what we've started to find is, like, if there's not an event tied to something, it's that much better, because then you don't have to get up.
No, but then you don't go. Then we rent a fucking house in paradise. Or
no, that's
something.
What I'm talking
we
about.
We can do that.
Exactly. So, like, I got to talking to Scotty Mac a little bit more, and I got to talking to Marcel a little bit more about this fucking Kevin Metal Bachelor Party thing.
Yes.
This is going to be the greatest thing ever. I don't want to fucking undersell it. But
no, don't worry. Heavy Meta does not do that.
It's gonna be the greatest thing that has ever happened in the history of the world.
You're not underselling this at all.
It's San Diego. It's a house like the Taj Mahal on the beach. There's going to be like, hey, dude, we were talking about, like, a couple different options, you know, maybe a week-long thing where for the
oh
first
Oh, my
fucking,
God, dude, a
well,
week?
No, hold on, listen. A week-long thing.
Only Kevin Metal could get a fucking bachelor party if it's a week
for
fucking
a week long.
Long.
I'm hungover just listening to this.
a week-long thing, but, the first half of the week wouldn't even be, like, everybody involved. We were talking about maybe doing, like, the first half of the week, like, Monday through Thursday. There's not a magic card in sight, and there's a select group of people. And their wives and girlfriends kind of thing. You know, like, select group of people in San Diego just kind of doing the vacation thing. All of us in a fucking ridiculous fucking house. On the beach, like beachfront property, and us doing this, you know, go to fucking SeaWorld, go to the zoo, go to fucking wherever you want to. Do whatever the fuck you want
to. I have this image of like drunk Kevy somehow stumbling onto a whale. Woo! I like the whale show.
Nah, he'd be trying to feed Kevy the shark slayer.
There's a good chance that like at this whole bachelor party thing, like I'm going to get bit, my arm bit off by an orca.
No. Did you guys see?
Before the party even starts.
You guys Sharknado. Saw Starship Troopers, right?
Oh, yeah.
When he's riding the really big bug and there's, like, the hole in it and he's just trying to, like, chuck the grenade into it.
Yep.
That's going to be Kevy. He's going to be, like, riding the whale, like, woo! And it's going to, like, fling him off and the whale will blow up or something.
And instead of shoving a grenade, he'll be trying to bang the orca through his
mouth. Trying to bang the orca in his blowhole. It's a blowjob!
Actually, hold on. If there is a job for our master...
This is the greatest blowjob ever!
Oh, Jesus. Yes. Okay, that is challenge number two.
No, that's challenge number... Is it two for this today? Okay, we have a challenge.
Well, that's challenge number one for today, two that we've given. Because the first one was you and Kevy throwing up and me watching porn on the computer in the back.
Oh, no, he's got that done. No, he's working on that. So, Stefan...
Wait, that is done?
He's working on it, yeah. He was working all weekend. But yeah,
that's the reason why I said this is challenge number two, though.
No, we had like four challenges that. This is a new challenge for this week, because he said he wanted weekly challenges. Kevy banging a orca whale as at a bunch of families like watching horror.
Yeah.
That's what we wanted.
I'm gonna fuck this thing, and it goes!
And we want it to be called the Colossal Motherfucking Whale. There you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, what I was getting at.
You just put the subtitle on it.
There she blows. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. Okay. Steven, that is your challenge. Anyway, what I was getting at is, like, we can either do this thing where there's that front part of it where, like, we can do this, like, a Monday to Monday, like, full week thing. And then a select group of people gets to fucking hang out in the house. You know, families, couples. Well, not families, but, like, couples doing their thing until, like, Thursday. Because
and then send the wives home.
Then there's gonna be, in Scotty Mac's own words, nary a magic card around. And then Friday happens.
Yeah.
And then Friday, Saturday, and most likely Sunday, it's going to be like GP Vegas all over again, but on the beach. And so, like, but we've also, you know, said, they said, hey, you know, maybe we don't do that. Like, depends on if some of the wives want to go, some of them don't. Like, either we do this week-long thing, or we just, if the wives don't want to go, then we just turn it into a four-day weekend. And we all show up in San Diego. We go stay at the Taj Mahal that is on the beach. And then we get wrecked and we play all sorts of magic all weekend. But the best part of this is we don't have to get up and go to a GP. We don't have to go, oh shit, the tournament's starting and we have to go get in line and we have to go get our play mat. And then, like, some of us can keep cooking because they didn't do really good in the tournament. Yeah, like, yeah, Marcel can handle his fucking business and on the grill. And, like, it's going to be a ridiculous magic weekend. But we don't have a GP to go to.
That sounds insane.
It's like April-ish is where we're thinking.
April-ish.
So, we'll get to that later. But
yeah, well, nice April Fool's joke there, Kevy.
I'm Googling penicillin as we speak.
I'm Googling penicillin.
Yeah, everybody show up at this house on April 1st.
Oh, man. I'm not – yeah, it's not – my credit card is not securing that home. That's all I'm saying. That is not gonna happen. Anyways, Kevy, since we will be in San Diego, and we will be there, there will be.
I'll be wearing a judge shirt that says, you know, hello, I'm a DCI judge. My name is Diego.
And what would you tell him?
Well, what would Aaron tell him? Is the big question.
Aaron wouldn't. Be rude and
yeah, she's too proper for that. Yeah. Come on now.
Well, I tend to lean one of two ways. Well, actually, before the incident that happened the other day, I tend to have a fondness for judges. I think
if it's that judge, then.
Well, that judge. I mean, it wasn't personal. Like, it's not like if I saw the guy, I would spit on him or anything. But like, he just happened to be trying to, you know, tell me what to do in a situation where I didn't feel like he should be. So. He's not a bad guy. Like, I'm not out for him or anything, but just in that instance, he crossed the line and I wasn't having it.
Right. So in that instance, you'd probably say something along the lines of, "You're not the boss of me, San Diego!"
Possibly.
Awesome. There. That's a new one. That's the Aaron Campbell alternate shout out ending exclusive.
That's the alternate art end of the show.
Yes. That's the flip card. The flip card heavy meta.
Thank you for sneaking in, Aaron. It's surprising the fuck out of these two. That was awesome.
Absolutely. I'm always willing to come on.
Yeah, Aaron's behind me. Ah!
Behind you, in front of you, on top of you, one of those.
Way!
Whatever direction it ends up happening, you know?
Oh my goodness. Hey, she is a magician, so.
It's true.
Yeah, she is a goddamn wizard. We're all.
Could you imagine if we were actually all wizards and magic was
She's
real?
She's a powerful wizard.
That's
She's the only one out of us.
All my friends think we are. I'm in Shaw, I play magic. They're like, oh, that game. I'm like, yeah. Do you think you're a wizard? Yes.
Kevin, your friends are probably the type of people that can taste colors. So I would not believe. I wouldn't put a lot of faith in what your friends say. Throwing that out there.
They can taste colors.
There's that split second where they're all. do you think you're a wizard? And then I look at their face, and I either get the whole, like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever, I play Magic, or the, yes, I do. And they're like, really?
See, that was kind of sexy, Kevy. Like, I would love to, like, I would love to see Kevy. Okay, I'm gonna go with the Kevin here. Do you remember when, like, the Kevin Federline days? Like, when Kevin Federline was really scrubby and terrible?
You know how many times one, I got compared to that guy?
For that one magazine, there was one magazine, I don't remember what it was named, but he cleaned up really, really well, and he had on, like, a suit, and his hair was slicked back, and he looked kind of sexy. I would love to see Kevy in, like, a suit one day, and just looking really proper and corporate. I think he'd be hot.
I can't, to be honest,
can pull that off.
I clean up pretty well. I can wear a suit very well. But I've also gotten compared to Kevin Federline quite a few times. Whereas,
oh, what an,
like,
insult.
I've got tattoos all over myself. I'm a fucking drunk piece of
because
shit.
Because you're overwhelmingly fertile?
Yeah, no, just using the fucking... That's some shit I would do. Like,
you,
I would
shake some hands before the match is over, and you're just pregnant. Like, just by the time the round is over.
No, that's Duke, Reed Duke. He did that to my wife. Yeah, I actually shook Reed Duke's hand. My wife actually just brushed his arm, and I got pregnant. That's how fucking awesome he is.
That's
kind of
hot.
You shook Reed Duke's hand. Your wife got pregnant, and on the first ultrasound, it's just Reed Duke's face.
It was, and he was just smiling. He's like, "You know it."
He's,
you know,
going right on.
He's like, "What's up, Papa?"
Reed Duke has the same appeal that KYT does. Like, I've joked about KYT before, and, like, there's something to be said about somebody that's so outwardly wholesome, but you know underneath is, like, a total, like, if you just
dirty
open it,
trash it, bag. Oh,
right. Like, KYT, like, if I had to choose my A team, like, fuck, marry, and kill, I'd fuck KYT. He'd be a hell of a good time because he just comes off as that very, like, coddled Asian boy. But, you know, in reality, you just want to, like, tie him to a stepladder with red licorice and just have your way with him, you know?
Aaron, hold on, wait, Kevy.
If I see the
bat symbol pop up on the Skype window, we're in trouble. But I'm pretty sure, Aaron, if you want to be part of the Manager Bribe team, that is actually one of the tasks that you get asked to do. So,
I would certainly hope so. My ass still hurts. I'm like, hey, fucking, you know, KYT, I'd like to be a part of your team. And she's like, all right, well, I'll tell you what this is. Yeah, whoa.
Hey, you want to be part of my team?
Whoa, shut the fuck up, Kevy. This is what is going to have to go down. And I'm like, all right, fair enough. Like, I really like your brand. I'm not even Canadian. and now, you know, I'm a different person now.
We all are. We're changed for life.
now I'm a different person.
Well, at least you didn't have the Frankie interview, so. All right, and on that note, we are closing the show because it is almost midnight.
Man, we got another hour and a half in us. So let's start talking about burgers. Me and Frank are going to start a podcast about
burgers. What the hell? We're not even at 3 hours yet.